Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's also not a Romanian gymnast. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And I'm very excited to have a guest with me here in the studio. Very excited. I'm happy whenever anybody comes out here and makes the schlep to come to the Valley. But I'm especially excited when somebody comes back, because that means that they didn't have a horrible, miserable experience the first time. And I'm very excited to have back in the studio Hannah Shapiro. Hannah, how are you?
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I drove out here on a highway, and I don't usually even drive highways in LA because it causes me too much stress.
Yeah, you seemed a little, you were a little bit frazzled when you came in.
I just have envisions of major car crashes every time I get on a highway. But I'm so happy to be here. I listened to Brett on the way up.
Yes.
So if you're tuning in to listen to another funny, chill Bostonian, I will not be that. I do not have Brett's social ease and coolness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm also a little less drunk than he probably was.
Wow. Who's to say?
I feel like every minute he was like, and I'm drinking again. I love Brett.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's going to be with us in Austin on this Wednesday.
That sounds so fun.
Very excited.
I wish I could be in two places at once.
Yeah. You had said Austin is a destination. You have it on your bucket list.
Yeah. Well, like I love country music. I'd love to travel to the South, but I stand out in the South. Like, I went to Nashville and I walked into this little country music bar in like a $2 romper, my long hair, big nose and glasses. And there was some sort of Missouri, Mississippi football game going on with all these like women with big blonde hair. And so I don't travel around the South with ease, but Austin is a place I'd like to go.
Okay. Well, if you want to join us in Austin, we're going to have a great panel. Kim Spradlin, Colby Donaldson, Burton Roberts, of course, the aforementioned Brett LaBelle. Brett LaBelle is bringing a plus one.
Oh, yes. Wait, what?
He
is it
not
a date?
He is not named who it is. Maybe it's a date.
I'm going to text him after this.
So it's going to be a really exciting show. Reynold Topher, Missy. We got a lot of people coming down to Texas. Rob is a website.com/AustinKIA. I know you said that you don't fit in the South. I watched the Floribama Shore the other day. Did you watch this?
I have not, but I did write an article, so I've seen all the promos. Why?
You wrote an article about the promos for it.
I wrote an article about one of the upcoming castmates. What is her?
Courtney?
Courtney with a K.
Courtney with a K.
I wrote an article about who she was, where she was coming from. It seems like it's going to be quite the show.
Yeah, yeah. So I watched that the other day.
That was my second choice of reality show to be on. It was going to be Survive. It was Floribama Shore was what I wanted.
You applied to be on Floribama Shore.
Exactly.
And then they took you for Survivor.
I didn't get it. So I was like, fine, I'll do Survivor. But yeah, I mean, when I'm not being a neurotic, scattered, nervous person, I'm actually drinking heavily on the Florida coast.
On the Floribama Shore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was exciting this week as well.
Did you enjoy it? Was it a good?
No, I did not. It was fine. It was just, I think that, I don't know if maybe I'm too old or the world is too different for me to enjoy.
Who's getting the winner's edit on the show? Who's going to grow the most?
Amy. I think she's going to be the breakout star of Floribama Shore. Anyway, so we're here to talk about double episode of Survivor. This is very exciting.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you again. Last time I got such great feedback as you were scattered and all over the place. So I'm hoping to be even more scattered.
So the last time that you were here was, of course, it was during
34.
The fallout of the Jeff Varner Zeke tornado. And so we have a lot lighter fare to talk about. And I still thought you were great during very tough circumstances last time out.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm excited to be here because also last time, you know, these were real people I knew. And now they're two-dimensional TV characters who I'm excited to critique.
Yeah. And you have really been great on Twitter all season long. Maybe it's just me. This is too inside baseball, but I feel like that there's not a lot of alumni who are really watching the show and taking to Twitter and giving their thoughts. And now I have a lot of theories about this. Mostly it's that because there's not an all-star season that's right around the corner. But you have been one of the few reliable Survivor tweeters this season.
Well, first of all, I love interacting with some of the fans on Twitter. It's been really fun. I've got a lot of feedback. I also, had this goal where I wanted to be an alumni who maybe made tweets and commentary about the show, hopefully funny, without being so hypercritical, having gone through the experience. Yes. And so I'm trying to be that voice. Sometimes I get a little critical, but I feel like for the most part, I try to show that you can comment on the show without shouting at your TV as an alumni.
Yes. If I recall, I believe you said that during the year ago when we did the finale press and we were on the red carpet, and it was me, you, and Kim Spradlin. And I believe you said that at the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, you just, you know, you go out there, you have this full experience. It gets edited down. You watch as you become this sort of two-dimensional person. Not everything gets explained. So I feel like I fully understood it. And it always surprised me when, you know, a few particular alumni wouldn't sort of give a little bit of leniency. So I just want to be a Twitter commentary that doesn't, you know, yell at people for their mistakes.
Well, you've done a really great job. You've been a lot of fun, and looking forward to getting into everything.
I'm so excited.
From the season. Double episode last night.
Yes.
JP went out, and Joe.
Yes. Two very different players.
Two very different guys.
I'd say two men that are as far across on the spectrum as possible.
Yeah. Two very different guys. Did you tweet a lot about JP this season?
I did have a tweet about JP, actually. I said he had the hiding strategy.
Yes. Of what was the hiding strategy? Of just
like hide and don't be seen.
Yeah.
I like that I'm now going to criticize everyone but I will on this podcast. That's what this is for.
We're not getting into attacking people's character or anything like that. But I think that their strategy is certainly fair game on this podcast.
Yes. All right. Let's do this then. I did tweet about JP. You know, I think JP was probably playing a better game than we saw since we never saw him. I mean, he had to be.
Yeah.
I also, you know, when you're like a strong, handsome firefighter, maybe not being a ringleader is the best option. And unfortunately, when he was not pushing for things, we didn't really see him at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't get a confessional in his boot episode.
He didn't. He got to talk at Tribal Council, but they didn't show anything of him then walking out of tribal council.
He didn't get final words.
Yeah.
To take away someone's final words is like having a sick man dying and him being like, let me say one more thing, and you just shutting the door.
Yeah. Did he abstain from final words?
I believe he had final words. I've never walked off the bridge and been interviewed, but I believe everyone gets
the opportunity. Yeah. At Ponderosa, he did not, in his Ponderosa video, did not seem to have the attitude of, you know, F this, I'm done, don't nobody talk to me. Well, I think we should presume that he gave final words and then somebody made the executive decision of, let's not use this.
Yes. And luckily, he's so expressive that we knew everything.
We got it. We knew what he was going to say.
Listen, if I was in a burning building,
mm-hmm.
I would want JP to come rescue me still.
Yes.
He seems brave and
qualified.
stoic. We saw him
pick up Ryan and literally
drag him.
Throw him. Yeah.
I have nothing negative to say. I just didn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a handsome ghost.
A handsome ghost.
He was there. Haunting the beaches.
Okay. And then on the other hand, we had Joe who went out last night who was, did nothing but talk.
You know what? Joe has gotten, so many reactions. I'm amused by Joe. I enjoy Joe because, you know, and we can get more into it, but Joe just seemed to be having so much fun. When he would get blindsided, he was a good sport. Yeah, he's opinionated on social media and probably in his exit press. But Joe, you know, I like Joe.
Yeah. I think that he played in the game the way that I think he's treats social media, in that I think that he is just looking to get a rise out of people.
Yeah.
He's looking to have fun.
Yes.
And I feel like that he is a showman. You know, I still think that the Marine stuff was going a little too far.
Of course.
And I talked about that with him in the exit interview.
Mm-hmm. What did he say about it?
I mean, he was trying to talk about, you know, he was just trying to get a rise out of Ben. And that was ultimately, he knew what buttons to push with people. Like, he really prided himself on being able to find that thing on each person.
Right.
He said it was easy to find that with Alan. Like he knew what to say to each person, like their, you know, their one Achilles heel that was going to make them go nuts.
Like, let me clarify. I'm not saying Joe is playing the best game. Here's my formula for what I look for in like my favorite players. It's three things. It's not what everyone looks for. But one is like a unique voice that's telling the story well. Two, they're actually doing something. Mm-hmm. And three, they're either having fun or they can be funny about it.
All right. I want to just reset that and make sure that we can digest it. So one is...
One is a unique voice.
Unique voice.
Meaning I don't feel like they're... meaning I remember their confessionals.
Okay.
They have a perspective, some sort of perspective on that's unique to them. Mm-hmm. If they're... I don't know, a fisherwoman. They see it through the eyes of fishing. There's like a unique voice.
Unique voice.
Two, they're actually doing something.
Right.
They're making moves. They're willing to make moves. They're not just doing nothing.
Right. Not a bump on a log.
They're doing something. And the third thing is they're having fun with it, or they're like funny. Like there's some sort of understanding. This is a TV show, or I'm living the dream getting to be out here. Like a joy of playing is my third.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are people this season that have parts of each of those, you know?
Yeah.
And my three things for what I look for in a player is not what everyone looks for. Some people love wilderness skills or athletic ability. I don't care about that as a viewer. Did that make more sense?
Yeah, okay, I think so. So, looking at the Hannah criteria of unique voice,
right?
Of that they
doing
making
things.
Moves
right.
and are having fun. I mean, I feel like that of the seven players that we have left, I think I would say that most of them fit into that criteria now.
At least cover one or two of them. I mean, the fourth thing would be good player, and that's just kind of separate. Like, so I think Joe fits into at least the first three. I don't know that everything he was doing was right, but it was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that this is a really great final seven, I feel like, that these people that are left. Because you do have everybody who is, willing to make a move in this game. I don't think that there's anybody that you could even say that is unwilling to, you know, make a have some sort of a flip. I think that most of these characters left do have some sort of a unique voice, and I do believe that everybody is having fun.
It seems like that they seem hungry, but
yeah,
weren't we all?
Yeah. And so a lot of people were down on this season coming into this episode. You've been very active on Twitter. Did you feel like that this was a subpar season coming into last night?
First of all, I think people are always heavily critical of seasons.
Right.
I mean, I can't speak for the entire season, but I feel like the 2 hours we watched last night was like a fun Greek drama about power. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were rises, there were falls, there were arrogant, that you were at the top, then you were at the bottom. I mean, that's all you can really ask out of, 2 hours of Survivor. I think there's been a lot of unique stories being told. I think, in the earlier episodes, it did feel like not everyone was exactly playing or knew how to play. But we see that in... pre-merge areas in most seasons. I don't know. I think you can't really completely tell the season until you've seen the whole arc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think it's a subpar season?
No, I've been saying that I was high on this cast, and I felt like that the breaking point hadn't happened yet. And I feel like we got that last night. I think that at the point where Lauren ends up pulling that group together and says, okay, this is the four. I feel like that this was our real inciting incident for the whole last, half or third of the season. And I feel like now it was just a lot of like building, 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 building. And now we're going to knock it all down. I think it's going to actually get knocked down in pretty exciting fashion.
I mean, we have to acknowledge that for a few episodes, at least, it was just healer. I mean, it was sort of, it's no fault of the season themselves, but it was sort of a bit of a pagonging of healers. So, of course, it's more exciting now when people are actually looking at an end game scenario. Yeah.
Let me take a quick moment and thank a sponsor before we get too far into this. And of course, you know, feel free to jump in. I know that you're an improviser, so feel free to jump in anywhere you want.
Wait, I'm supposed to jump into this sponsorship?
Well, anyway, okay. Anything you want to say.
The pressure is on.
But I want to thank one thing, our friends over at Omaha Steaks, because look, a lot of people are looking for gifts for any time. Would Omaha Steaks be a good Hanukkah gift?
I mean, absolutely. I just started eating red meat this past year, so I've recently tried steak for the first time.
When is Hanukkah?
Oh God, I'm a bad Jew. I don't know the exact
You don't even know. Okay.
Comes around the time where everyone starts putting up trees.
Well, here's why it's great. There's more than eight things that they can get you
okay,
in this
perfect.
Special RHAP package that they've put together. Of course, the perfect gift, you get to avoid the malls, lines, and crowds, and the freeway, if that's something that you're
great.
Not into.
So far, I'm into this gift.
So far, so good.
I'm on board.
We've gotten the Omaha Steaks for not just because of the sponsorship, but I've given and gotten Omaha Steaks as a gift, and they are fantastic. You have them in the freezer. Steak tonight, boom. Go.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Isn't that amazing?
It's not
Sounds
bad.
Great.
It's not bad. So for $49.99, get the family gift pack.
Ooh.
When you go to omahasteaks.com. Enter the promo code Rob in the search bar. You get 75% off over 500 gourmet gift ideas for great steak experiences at home. They've got plus seafood, poultry, pork, veal, lamb, online recipes, wine pairings, and more. They're aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavors of the cuts, hand trimmed and vacuum sealed. Here's what you're going to get in this RHAP deal when you enter Rob in the search bar: 2 filet mignons, 2 sirloin steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus 4
so
additional
much food,
kielbasa sausages for free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the promo code Rob in the search bar to get 75% off. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
I mean, I would eat all of that.
Yeah. I mean, it would take you all of 2018 to get through that.
It sounds just as good as the Outback Steakhouse Merge Feast.
Yeah, well, that's a different sponsor, but yeah. All right, so
okay.
I want to talk about last night in particular.
Let's break it down.
Steven and I were able to get into everything from the episode, but it's, you know, when we get these two episodes back to back, it's hard to sort of cover the stuff that happens in the first hour because you're more focused on like what more recently happened.
Right.
But I mentioned that this was, I thought, like the real, like, you know, exciting or the inciting incident of the season when Lauren wins that reward.
Yep.
It sets everything in motion of she takes her four people or her other three people and says, this is the four.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. To me, I mean, that was reminding me a little bit of the moment where in Millennials versus Gen X, I feel like, and it was similar to the double episode, I feel like it was when Chris Hammonds went home.
Let me think about this. Chris Hammonds going home, and I'd say probably us solidifying.
Because there was, I think it was a group of nine?
Right.
And that was the split.
I think the biggest thing was when we solidified our six, which was 3 Gen X, Ken, Jess, and Dave, 3 Millennial, me, Adam, and Zeke. And then, that was what, in my mind, that was the six solidified by the Chris go home. And then things got rocky.
Yeah. And that sort of started whole, like, dominoes falling down. And again, in your season, you know, a little more exciting, starts from further back. This is now...
Not according to Joe on Twitter.
what?
Our most recent boot.
Yes. Why? Because it was too much strategy.
Yeah. Joe's critique of our season. And again, I love Joe. Joe's critique of our season was that it was too much strategy, not enough emotions. And here's my only critique of his critique.
Mm-hmm.
We were all crying the whole season. So if that's not enough emotion for you.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. But no, I do think this was a big moment. No, this was the,
the Chris vote or the Lauren's decision?
I would take both. I'm talking about Lauren's decision, though. But just the decision to sort of, Lauren not letting it just get to the seven,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
people, I mean, we saw people, Ashley literally seemed to, you know, wake up. She was Sleeping Beauty. Lauren kissed her and she jumped up and was like, I gotta play. So yeah, this was definitely a big moment.
Yeah, because I think that what we get to, you know, with these Survivor seasons, and we have these big merges, and we have sort of like a big group that ends up, okay, this is the, you know, they'll come together for like a few easy votes at the start of the merge. It's like, okay, well, it's easy to vote out Mari. It's easy. It's easy to, or it's easy to vote. Not Mari. It's easy to vote out Michelle.
Mari is Michelle. Never easy. Oh,
no,
Michelle.
Michelle. I meant, I got my M's, my Gen X M's mixed up for a second. But oh, it's easy to vote out Taylor. But now you get to like this prisoner's dilemma of, you know, you'll have a group, but nobody ever lets it get down to the number of the group. Like if we're in like, oh, we have our six, we have our seven. It never actually gets down to the six
My
or seven.
My favorite part about last night's episode was I think Ryan or Chrissy kept saying, well, it will definitely get down to the seven. And I feel like that's shouting at the universe, nothing can happen to me today. Like it was just such a curse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think in both my season and this season, once you eliminate the guy eating extra food, that's when the game starts. Cole and Taylor. But that's the tipping point.
They're similar in that they're like a lightning rod. And everybody, like while you keep that person around, it's easy to keep that bigger group together. Yeah. But, you know, Joe and Mike, and as for, you know, Joe was creating all of these problems, but they were like, ah, he's like, you know, this mosquito, he's not bothering. Yes, he's annoying, but he's not, you know, he's not going to win immunity. He's not a threat.
Yeah.
They almost felt like that they were sort of like disarmed by him. But they feared Cole. And then once that the person they feared was gone, that was then one of those sides was going to pull the trigger on going after the other side.
Well, here's how I felt at it's that your mind goes through stages and that's what causes you to act differently. When you first get out there, at least for me, it was, I just don't want to be the first one to go home. Mm-hmm. I'll go with the group. I'll figure it out. Then you're like, I just want to make the merge. I just want to make the merge. And then you're like, you know, it'd be nice to like stay in, make the family visit. But then something clicks and you start looking around. You're like, there are less people here. What if I could win?
Mm-hmm.
Like what? I mean, I want to play to win.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing is suddenly people are thinking, wait, if I just can get rid of certain people, I have a shot at a bucket load of cash and Jeff Probst hugging me.
Like, yeah, I agree with that. And I think there's also a thing about like, you know, when you are out there, you're not watching the show. And I think that you sort of look at the other people and like, well, they're not better than me. Like, why are they better than me?
Well, I think
why could they win and I can't?
This is why the fan, I think like when you're watching and you're like, well, why'd they take out this person as opposed to this person? Well, you're seeing full edits, like full big edits from some people. You're not seeing that out there. You know, you only have what you're seeing to analyze. So you think exactly that. Like, why is this person better? Why? I could maybe beat this person.
Mm-hmm.
You're not seeing the full stories. So like, yeah, you start thinking, what if I could win? And yes, we're all playing to win the second we hit the beach, sure. But it's around this point where you think, I'm not just a character on this show. I could maybe take it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're seeing people like Devin and Ashley and, you know, Lauren and all these people sort of take stuff into their own hands.
Yeah. Well, I think that Lauren got the ball rolling last night with this group that she was, you know, very aggressive to say, I want these people. This is my four. And she just put it out there. And if anybody like she was lucky that anybody wasn't like, I don't know. Nobody went and narked on her about what it was. And it was interesting to me that one, this was at the final nine that she built a four. I thought that was interesting that she said, OK, this is the four. And they didn't quite identify who was going to be, whether it was just like, okay, well, we've got Joe and Dr. Mike, if that was always part of her plan.
It seemed like it to me, because I mean, from what we're seeing, it seems like Mike and Joe weren't really jiving with Chrissy. And I mean, it seems like she assumed she could do that. I mean, listen, she's been, her pole's been in the water for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was her moment to get those salmon swimming upstream.
Yeah.
I love the metaphors.
Nautical metaphors. Yeah.
I mean, she's a fisherwoman. It's nothing better. No, I mean, I also think that like, it's to, other people's social game credit too, that she felt so comfortable to just lay it out on the table. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she laid it out. She shared about her advantage and
yeah, let's all share whatever secrets we have. Also,
you'll notice that, you know, Ben didn't share about his idol.
Well, he didn't have it yet.
Well, later on.
Right.
But I'd say later on, it's interesting to me. I think, like, I mean, we'll talk about Ben and why I think he's playing a great social game, mm-hmm. a fantastic social game, probably later in the podcast. But, you know, she laid all her secrets out on the table. Maybe it's a trust thing. She'd already told Ben. It worked. The four of them became a thing.
So the four of them became a thing.
They got into bed.
And they decided, okay, well, we're going to go take out one of the people from the other side, the people that had gotten too comfortable.
Right.
And Lauren laid it out like, well, it could be Chrissy because of this. It could be Ryan because of this. It could be JP because of this. They ultimately decide to go with JP, which I have some issues with that decision. We don't know exactly whose feet to lay that at in terms of, do you think that was that bad of a decision to go after JP?
I mean, listen, to start with, I think it's going to be more heavily criticized because he never spoke in the edit. Mm-hmm. Like, if we had been hearing more from JP, maybe he's a bigger threat than we're seeing. But they left Ryan in with an idol that they seem to know about.
Right. And they had no reason to believe that he was going to use it. And I feel like that the point of blindsiding somebody is like, you can blind somebody with an idol. You don't have to like get them to flush their idol at one tribal council and then vote them out.
Yeah, I mean, it is curious that they didn't take out, I think, a more strategic.
Yeah.
What appears based on the edit to be a more strategic people like Chrissy or Ryan. Chrissy, who is now proving she can win stuff, and Ryan, who had an idol. That's weird.
Well, if I had to give you a reason why.
Yeah, give it to me.
I feel like that maybe they felt like, and while I think it was the wrong move, that they kind of felt like, okay, if we put the votes on Ryan, there could be a 10% chance he plays his idol and one of us goes home. How do we trust, you know, that Joe or Mike isn't going to say something to them?
Sure.
They could be playing us. How do we know? And maybe there's a 5% chance that if we put the votes on Chrissy, Ryan would be able to suss it out and plays his idol. There's a 100% chance if we put our votes on JP, JP is going home. Maybe Ryan wastes his idol at this tribal council. So the safest of safe bets here is to put the votes on JP.
Yeah. And like, listen, I don't think it's a bad move for the four to make a move on the seven. I mean, we had just heard, I think, Chrissy and Ryan saying, once we get down to seven, we'll get Ben, then Lauren. I think this is Lauren's correct move to try to make a move within the seven. I guess just, you know, they had Ben double agenting. It seemed like they had tools to make sure Ryan wasn't going to play his idol. Did they end up splitting the JP vote at all?
I believe on the JP vote, they ended up putting four votes on JP. I think that's ultimately where
Joe was the second. These vote breakdowns have been.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when the healers all voted for different people. And I was just like, why? Yeah. Some of these vote breakdowns, I'm like, so everyone's voting in different directions.
So, so you had the votes were Mike, Coco Joe, Dr. Mike, and then JP, 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 JP.
So if they had tried to blindside Ryan.
There were five JP votes.
So if they had tried to blindside Ryan, hypothetically.
Yes.
Then the worst that happens is Mike goes home. Right?
Yeah, that Dr. Mike would have gone home if...
Which would have been a travesty for the season and the narrative. But for them...
Yeah. And maybe for all we know, maybe it was Dr. Mike saying like, hold on. we know Ryan has an idol.
That happened to me once. Will came up to me for one vote and was like, why don't we vote for Jay instead of Zeke? Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, because I'm at the bot. I'm the other side of that vote. If Jay plays his idol, I don't think he'll play his idol for Zeke. If he plays his idol, I'm God. I was like, absolutely
not. Right. So he might have been in on the plan we know Ryan is going to play. They're going to put the votes on me. I don't want to go home if Ryan plays the idol. Why don't we put the votes on JP? What are you going to tell him? Like, no, you're good. You're good. Trust us. You know, you got to make him feel important.
But then you leave Ryan in the game with an idol knowing people have turned on him. That seems more dangerous.
Right. And that's where I think this idea of the spy comes in.
The spy. Now, okay, I have opinions on this.
Well, let's talk about the spy. And let me just parse this a little bit.
Okay.
In that we spent a lot of time last night talking about on the know-it-alls about the spy move. And I think that really I want to sort of separate it in that the move to create the four, I think, was Lauren's move. But in true improv style, I believe that Devin came in with the spy. Yes and of yes to the four. And let's make Ben be a spy and vote the other way. And then we'll have Mike and Joe. And so I don't necessarily have as much of an issue with the four. It was probably the right call.
No, Lauren did. Good, great call by Lauren. Lauren is a surprising, fun, strategy forward fisherwoman. And I love it.
Not just a character.
No, we'll talk about that. But no, I think Lauren is amazing. I think Devin's move to make Ben the spy proves something to me. And this is what it proves. Every time I watch something and I'm like, why? Usually when you're watching the show and you see someone do something that that you at home consider a mistake or silly or you don't understand the reasoning, it's because someone else is playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
I love Devin. He's good looking. He's strategic. He's great. The fact that he gave Ben that much power, essentially he told Ben without any question, he didn't say, oh, what if I am a spy? He let Ben keep his hands clean for that vote, go in between two alliances, have literally all the power, and he giggled and thought it was great. To me, that shows that Ben is killing it with the social game. Ben made Devin feel so comfortable that Devin felt comfortable enough to say, go be the spy. Everyone goes to Ben. Lauren goes to Ben and tells him about her advantage when she gets it before she tells anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Chrissy whispers loudly to Ben at every turn. Ryan goes to Ben and talks to him about the idol. To me, the spy thing was just, oh my God, Ben is playing a fantastic social game.
Yeah, you make a really great point in that people are doing things that are not in their best interest. Seemingly,
absolutely not.
The only explanation is because they like him so much. And I really feel like that Ben, it's weird because I'm very high on Ben now, but coming into this episode, I was very low on Ben.
Okay.
I mean, we saw at that last vote that they had.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Where he was, King Arthur. He had all of the heat on him. That this was what the gift that Lauren and Devin bestowed onto King Arthur was the ability to get back under the radar. That it looked like, Ben is controlling everybody. Everybody is gunning for him. Chrissy and Ryan say, let's get down to the seven so we can target
Ben.
Ben will win the game. We have to get him. And what do Lauren and Ryan and Devin decide to do? We need to cover.
We
need to cover Ben. He's not running the show. We are.
Yes, they let Ben run the show while making it seem like he's running nothing because his social game is that good.
We have to protect him.
They are protecting Ben. And here's the thing. I got so much slack for keeping Dave in too long in these sets. I am 100% of a believer in keep people that have heat on them in longer than the audience understands.
Mm-hmm.
Shine
that light on
them. Oh my God. Adam and I, every tribal. Dave is the best. Dave is controlling everything. Dave is the greatest. Shine the light. And Dave deserves it. Dave's a fantastic Survivor player. Shine the light on people, but keep the light on them and then pull the rug out from under them. And then you get
slay
to
the dragon.
Yes. Be the dragon slayer. But here's the thing. That's what's so amazing. Yes. You know, Chrissy was like, you're steamrolling people. And Ben was like, no, I'm not. Ben was having a lot of heat. But the thing that's so incredible, I think, is that still, like, Devin's move to, like, let Ben be, play this fake blindside. And now, of course, it's more out in the open that he was working with them.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still, he was given the power of the light was off of him and he got to act hurt and deplete. It is bonding. When you get blindsided together.
Yeah.
We see that in every season. And this is, to give him that secret agent just shows
And I feel like where I was then critical again in the second hour was that then I felt like then they had this opportunity of that Ben was built up to be this guy. And then they had the opportunity to blindside him. And he had the idol in his pocket as well, that they didn't even know that. Now, again, that creates a very complicated situation in that then they would have ended up having only a three. Mm-hmm. And then with two
no,
twos,
they still have a five because Joe and Mike.
Yes. But the, would Joe, the question is, would Joe and Mike flip? Have stayed or would they have flipped to Ryan and Chrissy? Steven said that last night that it was actually that would be a terrible move to blindside Ben because Joe and Mike definitely would flip. And I was against it last night. I've come around a little bit this morning after talking to Joe.
But they have Lauren's extra vote, too.
They do have Lauren's extra
so
vote.
So that makes it, that ties
oh,
it.
You know what? Forget it. You're wrong, Stephen.
I love Stephen Fisher, but they had Lauren's extra vote.
Right. They didn't even need Ben anymore.
No, they had Lauren's extra vote. So they could have said to Joe
Worst
and Mike,
would have been a tie.
Go against us, but then we're going to all go to Rocks. Here's the thing. Like, I get go back and forth. Because I think I understand where Devin and Ashley and Lauren are playing in that I have played letting someone be a shield. Mm-hmm. I had many shields, you know, like Zeke loved to be like, yeah, here I am. And Dave loved was like, here I am with all the idols and use your shields. But and I use my shield sometimes too long. So I understand the instinct to keep Ben as a shield. But it gets risky because he's still in the game and now he has an idol.
Yeah, he's still in the game. He hasn't. They don't know he has an idol.
Well, they don't know, but he does.
Vote, that's such a deal breaker.
Yeah, they could have. But and are you telling me that, like, I don't know that, like, Lauren, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, they had an extra vote. They get rid of Ben. It's 4-4 because of the extra vote. And, you know, Mike just wants to be is nervous. I mean, you easily pull someone over with that extra vote.
Yeah. And in talking with Joe this morning, he said that Joe actually that he, Joe, had a relationship with Ryan.
Uh-huh. We saw
Dr. Mike and Ryan not necessarily on the same page. I mean, I don't think that it would have been a stumbling block, but it seemed like that Joe and Chrissy did not get along great. I don't know if necessarily that would they have been able to overlook their differences and be able to work together. It's possible. They both seem like smart players, but was there too much bad blood there?
I mean, I remember having situations where there was bad blood. Most people in my season really got along, but I remember getting to the merge and Jessica and Sunday wouldn't speak to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember thinking, oh, it'd be lovely if we could get some, you know, some ladies together and being like, oh, they won't talk to each other. This is something like they wouldn't talk to each other. So I don't know. Sometimes bad blood is fixable and sometimes in the game, it's just not. So you've got an extra vote and you've got Joe apparently hating Chrissy and Chrissy to Joe. I don't know. Was this a chance that was missed? I mean, they didn't know about the idol. And again, it's easier. It's so easy to sit on a couch with a burrito and judge people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see. I mean, Ben just went on a walk and there was the idol clue.
Yeah.
That never happened to me, Rob.
That never happened. So in terms of the spy, you feel like that the idea of getting the spy involved was problematic.
Well,
they did know that the
to
spy
give it to
was
Ben,
able,
I think.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. To give it to Ben, who again, it's not so much a critique of Devin as a compliment to Ben. I just feel like why give this person a bonding moment of being blindsided, even if it's going to be later revealed. Why give the person everyone's afraid has too much power even more power? Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even that he was, the bond of being blindsided. Then everybody was a little salty after the blindside where we saw, Devin being a little contentious with everybody else after. And Ben didn't have to do that.
No.
He didn't have to sort of like get those guys
in
even
fact,
more worked
he got
up.
To, yeah. I mean, he didn't. Chrissy and Ryan were upset. Everyone was, you know, from their perspective after being blindsided, being a little arrogant. Yeah. Ben had none of that heat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I also think like kudos to Ryan and Chrissy for a moment. To save the anger for the confessionals is what you have to do. Like, I just remember when I got blindsided by the Michaela vote, coming back and being like, good vote, guys. I understand. But why didn't you include me? Okay, sounds good. And then in a confessional being like, I'm going to murder all of them. And I feel like that's what Ryan and Chrissy did, which is why I don't think they're dead fish in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
you know, fisherwoman.
Yes,
more stuff.
Very good.
Yeah, whereas you see the opposite sometimes when people get really upset after a vote visibly or get really angry. My season, this one, it sort of creates a thing. So kudos to them for that. But mm-hmm. The fact that Ben got a pass on this one, and not that the craziest thing to me about it is that it's not like Ben was like, can I be a spy? Or it's not like they got together and Devin was like, who wants to be the spy? It just seemed like, and again, edits are edits. So I don't know, yeah. But it seemed like it was like, all right, here's your power.
So do you feel like that Devin should have said, hey, guess what? I've got this great idea. What if I pretend that I am not really in on the plan? Mm-hmm. Would that have come off as too sketchy for Devin
maybe.
To volunteer?
Here's
that?
Here's the thing. It could have maybe. Yeah, it could have come off too sketchy.
Like, wait, what do you mean you don't want, you're not going to vote with, oh, you want to pretend to vote with the other people?
You know, I mean, I don't know. Give it... Ashley, Lauren, someone who's not sort of your shield and running things. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it may have come across too sketchy. Again, we're couch commenting. So I just think it was funny that was allowed to, it was one of those moments where I was like, what is happening? And I think Devin, just to be clear, I think Devin's playing a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. I think Devin is a strong, athletic dude who's also social, who's also strategic, who is not anyone's target right now because of the beautiful shield that is Ben and the beautiful shield that is that was these other players. I think Devin's playing a fantastic game. It was just one of those moments where I had to pause and say, what? It was almost like he wrote out an advantage and handed it to Ben.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like to me.
Can I talk to you about one particular moment from the episode?
Yes, please,
at the reward challenge in the second hour?
The fact that this was my favorite part of the episode. They hid the family letters under the hamburger buns.
Yeah.
Which
imagine they missed them? Like they were like, what?
So the fact that they hid the clue under pasta and then they hid the family letters. When they said, ooh, what's this? I thought it was another clue.
Yeah.
I thought, why are these emotional family letters? They had to cry while they lifted up hamburger buns. It was my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole episode.
You just liked that it was that they
I
were
liked,
hidden?
Well, I like because the thing is when you and I was on the reward that we got our family letters, everyone instantly
cried. How did they
cries.
Get presented?
I believe a lovely Fijian.
Because they like bring them out as like a second course.
So a lovely Fijian man mm-hmm. came out with a tray, which I thought was chocolate cake, but there were letters and we all instantly started weeping. Because that's what happens when you're out there and you're in this intense thing. Any unconditional love doesn't exist on Survivor. Even with like Cole and Jessica, it's just unconditional love can't exist in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
But unconditional love makes you break down when you're out there. And so it was just so hilarious to me that this unconditional love that was going to make everyone weep was in and under hamburger buns. Oh my God. I would have loved if it was pasta again. They had to like get the sauce to see what their daughter said. It was my favorite part of the episode.
When Devin said, we shared this bond together.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel any particular bond with the people that you enjoyed those letters with? Because you all got your letters at the same time.
I mean, if I did, that bond was broken when Brett and Sunday would rather draw a rock than like
right.
keep me in the game. You know, this is the thing. I had so many critiques. Like, why didn't you know? Why didn't you go towards Brett and Sunday? It was more bonding. The rock thing was more bonding than that. But no, I mean, you definitely emotional moments bond you. And it was, I still remember that. That was and I love those. I love Brett. I love Sunday, Adam. And it was nice to be on that yacht and like get those moments and to share that. It is bonding. It is. I think it got complicated with rocks later on.
Yeah.
For me. But no.
I don't think it really bonds you. You feel close to those people for the moment, but.
I mean, look at Jay and Adam and the family reward. I think Adam used the emotional bond of having a
that
family
was different
award.
To me.
I guess so. Here's the thing. Anything out there can quote unquote bond you. You're trying to, Survivor's all about trying to manufacture trust where there shouldn't be because Survivor's a game where you don't trust people. And so anything can bond you. I mean, I remember Adam and I bonded over being Jews. I mean, mm-hmm. and that, you know, that Ken and I bonded over being weirdos. Dave and I bonded because we have the same exact mind. You know, small mm-hmm. things like that
right.
can bond you. So I think Devin was trying to, you just try to manufacture trust where there is. I don't know. I mean, for me, it didn't last, the letter specifically.
Yeah.
But we did all cry together. So on a boat in Fiji. That's a thing that happened in my life.
I want to talk about the second reward challenge.
Let's do it. The second reward.
The spa reward. Ryan was, he couldn't even get a veggie wrap. He was so sad.
Oh, man. How great are Ryan's confessionals, by the way?
Let's take a pit stop here.
Okay.
Because I feel like that he's gotten a lot of criticism from people online. People say that his analogies suck. His confessionals suck. You like them.
I've told you what my three requirements are for mm-hmm. liking a Survivor player, and he hits all of them.
Yeah.
He's a fan of the show. He's telling the story in a unique way. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I mean, people are going to, people are more critical of the people they're watching who remind them of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this a million times, I feel like, in a million different interviews and stuff, but it's harder to be critical of, like, Malcolm and Joe and JP and mm-hmm. whatever.
Because they're so alien.
They're so alien. They're these beautiful men who can build shelters in a heartbeat, and they're good looking, almost too good for the game itself. Like,
Too pure for this world.
Too pure. But Ryan, who's, like, confident in himself. I mean, I think that's what Ryan, Dave and I second guessed everything we did out there. Ryan is this confident, but, like, you know, self-deprecating, funny, interesting mm-hmm. person. I think, you know, people may see a little of themselves in Ryan. Why do you think? Why is Ryan being so bashed against the stones?
I mean, I feel like the consistent thing that I read is people say, we're sick of this archetype being shoved down our throat. Now, again, Ryan himself is not doing anything.
Yes.
He's not producing the show. He sent in a tape. He said, hey, I want to be on Survivor. They picked him to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And then we're tired of looking at him. And
I mean, I'm the same archetype. So I guess I want to ask you.
So. You were somebody who came into the, and then you were, you know, sort of cast with the, oh, this is the new Aubrey.
Wait, I would like a very brief and succinct, with the same word. I don't need to be brief and succinct. I would like to defend myself with this Aubrey thing. People assumed I got cast because Aubrey got cast, which, in fact, here's very inside information. I met a casting person. Didn't get cast for a year because she was afraid that if she brought me in front of Jeff Probst and producers, they would think I was too similar to Aubrey and reject me on the spot because of our similarities. I had to wait because of our similarities. I was not cast because Aubrey was on the show.
Mm-hmm. You almost didn't get on.
I almost didn't get on because, you know, people were going to be like, you know, oh, God, and Ryan is an interesting, strategic fan of the show. He was not cast because Cochran won a million years ago. He was not cast because our archetype is taking over the world. You know what? I'd like, on behalf of all our archetypes, sorry we last long and we play well. Like,
so are you saying you're lumping yourself in with that archetype?
I mean, I'm not saying I'm nearly as good as my other fellow archetypes. I'm mm-hmm. not claiming to be anything great, but I think that of the archetype of self-deprecating superfan who, like, has fun on Survivor and enjoys telling stories, I think I'm a part of that archetype.
You know, and I would say that I am part of that same archetype and in a different version. And, you know, just to speak to the necessity of that person in the show, you know, you don't want a season full of, you know, people that are too similar. But the thing that Jeff Probst had said to me back in Survivor of the Amazon, he said, because I was talking about, like, oh, you know what's going to happen and this day. And he said, you know what you're like? That you're like, have you seen Scream? Do you know Scream well enough?
I've only seen one.
Basically, well, Scream, it was, I know, it's a, like, I'm really dating myself.
No, I've only seen one horror movie ever.
Okay. Well, in Scream, that the Jamie Kennedy's character in Scream, that he knows all the rules of the horror movie, and they're, it's like very meta, and they're in the horror movie. It's like, oh, okay, well, none of us can die because we're not doing this and this and this. And Jeff Probst was saying, that's what you're like. And then it's good to have the person in the season who knows everything about Survivor,
yes,
who is like, I do think that in a lot of ways that can sort of like, you know, set the expectations, and then production can play with those expectations.
Exactly. So Lynn Spielman is the Emmy nominated casting director of Survivor, and she is incredible. And they are not trying to cast the second somebody, you know, that is, patterns evolve over the seasons. I mean, there's been a million of every archetype that there is. I'm sorry that ours isn't, you know, I love the Ryan archetype. I really enjoy someone who's intelligent and witty and commenting, just like you said, in a sort of bit of a meta way.
And I get it.
But I'm not everyone's cup of tea, as I know from commentary. I understand.
I hear that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that I don't want to label myself as a defender, but it's not like, he himself, this is like his third time on the show. And it's like, no. I'm sick of this person. He just showed up this one time.
No, I will label myself as a Ryan defender. I have spoken to this person. He is a lovely, smart human being. And I understand, you know, commenting and being critical of gay, whatever. But if you are sick of hearing someone talk, turn off your TV. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's too harsh, but like, I don't know. Don't you think there's been repeats of lots of archetypes?
Yeah, some people don't like that he makes a lot of analogies.
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I find it pleasant and interesting.
You like it?
I mean, I think it's funny that he's never been to prom and that comes up at a tribal council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Survivor does really lend itself to metaphor. I feel like that,
100%.
Especially from Jeff. And I'd like to go back. If you know, I did the Evolution Strategy. We watched all the old seasons. I wonder how much metaphor there was in the early seasons of Survivor, or just like that we've done all the metaphors and we're doing them again. Because I feel like that every single tribal council, and it's not just Ryan, I think that, you know, Jeff himself is often like last night, he's like, it's like there's a whiteboard and people are putting the ideas on. I would love to have a list of all the things that Survivor is like.
I just like,
it's like you're at In-N-Out Burger and there's a menu of all these different things that you could order. But some people, they know the secret menu and they can monsterize it.
I mean, I don't know. I love when it relates to the person's career.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think we got Ben with the Marines. This is just like when I was in the Marines and this happened. We have Lauren with the fishing. I think we definitely had some firefighting, some surf. I don't know. Whatever the metaphor is.
Yeah. Here, like, let's do the metaphors of our respective occupations.
Oh, well, I'm hardly a barista.
Yes.
So I don't know that I can... I was a barista but I feel like at one point I was like, as a barista, this was one of my earlier interviews that never aired. As a barista, you know, you have to talk to a lot of people, keep track of a lot of things. That's what Survivor is like, you know? Whoever comes up to the barista counter, you have to know how to talk to them and what they want and keep track of it. I would actually say more accurately, you know, as a writer, I'm a journalist and comedy writer, you know, figuring out everyone out there thinks they're Fishback thinks they're the protagonist of their own story. So figuring,
he especially does,
figuring out what, but I mean, he, you know, he said that, but figuring out what each person thinks their story is going to be. So anticipating that out there, that's what Survivor is, figuring out what everyone's story is, writing everyone's narrative.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Survivor's okay. How about you?
Okay.
Go for it.
You know, Jeff, that Tribal Council is a lot like a podcast where, you know, you can do all of the preparation that it takes to get there. But until you sit down in that room and turn on the microphone and sit down, you don't know how it's going to turn out. And that's a lot like tonight.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I think each person left in this game could. I love that so much.
Yeah, but I would love to get a list of a Survivor and then Survivor have that list turned like into a poster. Survivor is like going to the movies that you have to buy it, that you get a ticket and you don't know if it's going to be good, but you're going to be there.
I mean, I would argue, I mean, since this all started with the Ryan critique, I would argue, think back to episodes early this season. Who can you quote months later? Who do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that thing Simone said, or do you remember Ryan saying he couldn't win a veggie wrap? Okay, well, that's time-wise different. But
I feel bad for him because I feel like that a lot of the fans, at least the most vocal fans, I feel like have expressed dislike towards him. And I'm not sure that sort of like the casual fans have embraced him. So I don't know that I feel like that.
Well, casual fans love like.
Well, because I think it used to be, the super fans. Well, the super fans like the super fans on the show.
But now
it's turned to where that the super fans have come to dislike the super fans that are on the show. And the people that are sort of like just the casual fan, they're busy with the, you know, the Joey Amazings of the world. And so they dislike Ryan. So I feel like that.
Who is left to love Ryan? Nobody. Who will take Ryan to prom?
Nobody.
Ryan is never going to get to experience prom.
On the show, and he's like, well, I'm this unpopular person. And now he's gone on the show and has only become a less. And he's not like making like personal attacks or doing anything horrible on the show. But yet nobody has embraced him.
Who will take Ryan to prom? I will go to prom with Ryan. The three of us will go to a prom.
Sure.
Actually, that gets creepy now. We can't go to prom. That's Roy Moore territory.
The Survivor prom.
I can't make a Roy Moore commentary.
Yeah, that's territory.
That's Roy Moore territory.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Floribama Shore.
Listen, it's tough to be. I mean, I remember it's been years ago since this was the case, but I remember being on TV. Getting commentary. I mean, I'm sure I'll cry based on comments on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I will have a good cry when someone says, gosh, that Hannah, she's the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it is weird because everyone's like, well, you know what you sign up for is sort of the response. You know, you're going to get critiqued, you know, but you also kind of just really want to play Survivor.
Yes.
And there are so many good fans. I mean, Brett, how great the fans are. I'm not as good with fans as Brett is.
Nobody is.
Not because I think I'm better than anyone, but because I get anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I meet someone who's really nice, I think, oh God, I'm going to disappoint them. And then when I meet someone who doesn't like me and I'm like, well, I'm going to prove them right. There's no way to win.
That's good. I never thought of it that way.
So
it's like, well, now I don't have to try to impress this person. They already don't like me. What a relief.
I had a person come up to me and say, you know, I really didn't like you at first, but now you're growing on me in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I didn't like you at first.
This was a stranger.
This was a stranger that came up to me at a finale event and said, I didn't like you at first. And I was like, all right. Yeah, I know I'm not a super, like, fuck you person. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, but right. Why do you need to share that with me?
Why do you need to share that? But then again, the people who love me, I'm like, I'm gonna prove why I suck to this person. They're going to go and be like, I thought I liked Hannah. What a weirdo. I listened to an RHAP. She was scattered and all over the...
Right.
I don't know. But for the most part, fans are wonderful. And I think Ryan told me that a bunch of people in his law school class all bought turtlenecks and watched it with him.
Oh, okay, good. So somebody
has taking Ryan to prom.
That's nice. That's nice. So what this whole big aside was I was trying to talk about the reward challenge.
Okay,
actual reward.
Yes.
And this really, I thought that I love it when, and I always like to look for this stuff, but when the events of the show almost take on sort of like a literary metaphor.
Oh,
and I feel like that this was one of those instances last night.
Do tell more a little bit.
At the point when everybody was at the reward.
Yes.
Where it was Devin and Joe and Ashley and Ben.
Yeah.
And Ben was in the shower and Devin
put on his hat,
put on the hat.
Mm.
And to me, we had King Arthur and all of the symbolism around.
Yes.
Ben is the king.
Ooh.
Of the game.
Mm.
And then here was Devin and said, you know what? I'd like to try on this crown.
I love that. I mean, what a beautiful.
Look at me. How do I look?
And Ben being like, I like you. You can put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what
do you think, Ashley? What do you think of this?
And then there was, I mean, it was a misguided comment at Tribal, but Ben is not King Arthur. He is surrounded by kings and queens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that is beautifully put. I mean, the reason I loved last night's double episode was because it was just such, I said this already, but a Greek tragedy about power. And I mean, the first hour, let's add to this metaphor. The first hour, Devin has a confessional that says, I can see the power in Ryan and Chrissy's eyes and it makes them clueless.
Mm-hmm.
And then by hour two, we had this man in a cowboy hat in control. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a beautiful.
Yeah. Survivor has been really lucky with these 2-hour episodes, especially in the fall. The like Millennial versus Gen X 2-hour episode was like, Ozzy. I'm sorry. Game changers.
I was going to say ours had rocks in it.
I apologize. No. The fall seasons okay. have been very lucky. The game changers was like, Ozzy got voted out. Okay. It was Haley and Ozzy. The Ozzy vote was good.
But they had that cute date at Ponderosa.
Yeah, they had the good Ponderosa video. But yeah, the night before Thanksgiving, I mean, that was sort of like the Brett and Jessica, double feature, which ended in the rock draw. That was really, fantastic and drama.
I mean, if you... I have so much respect for the editors and the producers of Survivor because they just weave these incredible tales. I mean, that's why people watch. We're in the 35th season and we're excitedly podcasting for what's going to be 10 to 12 hours of a podcast about this episode. And it's because I just get so excited with the storytelling.
Yeah.
I mean, as a writer and you as a podcaster, Survivor. Yeah. But it's just, I mean, yes. I just thought if there was a theme for last night's double episode, it was power. And what a beautiful way to talk about it with the hat. I just, in my mind, that confessional of Devin's about how people see him with power. And I remember it out there. And so for, the people that tell the story of Survivor to be able to tell what you experience, which is, I remember being on the, not having any power. And watching people with power get arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember what happened when I got to flip the script. And then I remember feeling the juices of power.
Mm-hmm.
The juices of power.
Yeah.
That's a gross way to put it. But I remember someone's exit press, I don't want to name names, was like, Hannah got a little, over into her power. And I was just like, I didn't have power. And then I had power. It is this feeling.
Intoxicating.
Oh, it is the best. I mean,
it's like the Lord of the Rings.
Or Star Wars, like you had pointed out on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Power leads to what? That's not fear leads. That was my time. This is just a Yoda. This whole episode's one big Yoda quote.
Power leads to cowboy hats. Yeah.
Cowboy hats lead. Oh, gosh, no. I refuse.
Take it back. But no, it's really interesting. And I think that Millennials versus Gen X is a great example of that sort of like, okay. Oh, look, this person has all the power and we have to go after them. And where, you had where it was like, where you had all those big, boots that went out, where, Zeke rose to power and then he had to get targeted.
He got a little intoxicated and got targeted. Yeah.
Right. And,
but do you think that season we targeted them? Chris got intoxicated. Quote unquote, with power,
yes.
He got targeted. Zeke got intoxicated. He got targeted. Do you think, this is a question, I don't know the answer to this. Do you think that Ben shirted the word? I don't know. Skirted the downfall of some of these. Because that's where I think the double agent thing comes back.
That was the gift that they gave him, that the heat was started. Like
it was like if Zeke had been allowed to be a double agent and pretended to be blindsided. Because I feel like, yeah, it was these. Yeah, and let's not be wrong. Ben was not playing perfectly. I mean, like, he got into...
It was like he was Tupac, and he got to fake his own death.
Right. Yes. It was just... Yes.
His downfall came, but except that it was a fake downfall, and it wasn't even his idea. He was gifted that.
Yeah, because Lauren, Devin, and Ashley are shielding him, and maybe their reasoning is...
And I'll say that... Devin shielded him.
Yes.
Lauren correctly said, hey,
we should maybe get him out. Yeah.
We should take this chance to get
actually very fair point.
Yes.
Lauren and Ashley were very much considering the vote. There is a huge jump, I will say, between considering the vote and taking the action.
Right.
Lauren is a badass. Like, let's be real. There's a reason why people love her. You watch a pregame interview, you're like, who is this quirky lady? And then she goes out there, makes moves, kicks ass. I'm very impressed with Lauren. I don't even know that this was a mistake. On anyone's part. I just think it's, you know, my question, and I do, and maybe the podcast listeners have answers. I don't know, but I felt like Dave excluded. We kept Dave in too long. But it felt like on our season when someone rose to power and got the great thing that Dave did was he, maybe it's because he's so self-deprecating and whatever, he never let himself get so intoxicated with it that it sort of ended up that his head got on the block. But my question is, is the difference that our Bens all got taken out?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of like is the pattern in Survivor where somebody ends up being sort of like the usurper who ends up sort of like leading a coup. And then that person is in power. And then everybody says, OK, now let's get them out. And that's, you know, again, this was that great gift that Ben had gotten. But the people that knew, Ben is still has the power.
Yeah.
And Lauren was still she was the person, and Lauren and Ashley. And they said, no, he still has the power. We need to take him out. And to in my mind, again, this was not in the show. I'm filling in the blanks. I watched The Crown recently, and we know what happened in The Crown, but there's a lot of conversations that happened on screen. And they had to imagine them. They had to like fill in the blanks of like what was going on. You know, okay, we know that Elizabeth was here on this day, but what they say when she went home that night, I don't know, but we'll make it up. But it's in my mind, in the historical fiction, Devin talked them out of it.
Interesting.
I think that Devin said
I don't think it's historical fiction. You see Ashley go up to Devin. Mm-hmm. We don't get a full conversation, but you see Ashley go up to Devin and say, hey, I'm considering, we're considering Ben. And you see Devin go, what? Holy moly. You don't know what happened after that, but you do see that Ashley brings it to him and he, you know, but here's the thing. Everyone has different best interests. I don't even know that it's necessarily a mistake for Devin. Here's why. Devin is a handsome, strong, strategic dude. Let's say hypothetically they get rid of Ben. I think Lauren and Ashley can still play a little under the radar, but Devin suddenly becomes a standout guy, right? Mm-hmm. Perhaps. I don't know how his...
And maybe for Devin, it wasn't the wrong move. Maybe
right,
Devin
that's
is...
my question.
But for Lauren and Ashley, it would have been the right move.
I think Lauren made a fantastic move
Episode one.
I don't know that she made the right move the second episode, and I'm going to get a lot of critique because people love their fisherwoman, and I love her too, so don't attack me. But I'm just saying, if we're thinking about this as a... If we're hypercritical of people who are playing well, and this, I mean, Lauren is playing very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So Lauren is a great player and she is playing so well. And I understand why everyone loves her. And that's why we're critiquing her as a great player.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know, because I think everyone's correct move is different, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Is it the correct move for Devin to keep Ben in longer? Maybe.
Well, let's just play this out in terms of now. We're going to go into the 7 coming up next week. Don't forget that Lauren has her extra vote. So now it seems like a pretty straight shot, you would think, that they're going to go after Ryan has spent his idol. So Ryan or Chrissy would go next if everything holds.
Yes.
Okay. And of course, that I believe that the move for Ryan and Chrissy and Dr. Mike now at this point is going to be they're at the bottom, but I think that there is room because they've afforded Ben the ability to play both sides. Now they could potentially pull Ben over to their side. Lauren needs to play her extra vote no matter what. But will she recognize this?
I don't know. And here's the other reason she has to play the extra vote. At this point, half the people there know she has an advantage. At a certain point, having an advantage can put a target on your back. And it's similar with why I think, even though it was a wasted idol play for Ryan, at some point he had to play it. Everyone knew he had an idol, right?
Right.
So
that was a big blunder also, telling people he had the idol.
His bigger blunder was that it lost him Devin's trust, who was a trust, at least it seemed from the edit, that you know, he and Devin were really close. And the thing that put the wedge in that allowed Ben and his good social game to get in there was that Ryan told Devin that he was the only one he told. And then Devin found out that Ben also knew. And that
and
was a moment.
It goes back to that social game you're talking about with Ben, where for whatever reason, Ryan felt comfortable enough with Ben to tell him his,
yes,
his you know, most important secret in the game.
Yes.
And then Ben used it against him.
Right. And I think it was Ryan. Yes, it was Ryan's mistake to tell both of them. But it was also, again, Ben's social game to be able to, I mean, that wedge is huge. I mean, here, do you want to pair up with Ryan or Ben if you're looking at endgame scenarios? I mean, I don't know who beats who in any scenario, but I don't know that, you know, that jumping to Ben is the right move, but Ben really used that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But with the advantage, yeah, she needs to use it, if not for the very simple thing, too, of everyone knows she has this at this point.
Yes, everybody knows that she has it. And I think that she needs to announce it, that she's going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, something has to be done with that advantage, because at this point, half the people there know she has it. Yeah, Mike now is on the bottom again with Ryan and Chrissy. And my question is this, too. Do you think that Ryan and Chrissy are now mad at Ben because they realize he's been playing both sides, or are his hands still pretty clean?
Mm-hmm. So
that's a question I have. I don't know the answer.
Based on the votes, okay, that, you know, since we talked about,
this vote breakdown.
This was a tricky vote because that Lauren and Ashley and Devin told Joe and Mike one thing. So Mike is going to be pissed now after this vote. He's like, hey, you guys, why'd you tell me we're going to vote this way? And then we,
anytime you get blindsided by a vote, whether or not it's your, you know, you just get mad.
Right. And then, so, you know, Ben, ultimately on that vote last night, he didn't flip against Ryan and Chrissy. He voted out Joe. He was one of the votes against Joe. So if anything, they're going to say like, hey, why didn't you vote with Ashley? Like, well, Joe was on my nerves. Joe's been bothering me.
But Ben voted with the other people, showing he was playing both sides.
Yes, but I feel like that is not as much like in their eyes. It's like, okay, Ben voted with us last time. For whatever reason, he voted against Joe at this vote. He got wind. Okay, vote for Joe tonight.
So you're of the opinion that Ryan and Chrissy won't hold it against Ben.
Yeah, what do they care if he voted out Joe?
Well, but here's why I think they at least care a little bit, is because now they realize he was more in cahoots with the people he was supposedly mad at and hated with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this is going to cost him anything. I'm just saying at least his double agent status has been compromised. I still think the double agent thing afforded him taking away the limelight and getting a bunch of power. But I mean, it's at least evident that he was not with them.
Yeah. And what I think that he could do is then go to Chrissy and Ryan and blow his own cover and tell them, hey, look, I have to tell you something. When we went on that reward, Lauren and Devin and Ashley said, OK, this is the four. And then they told me you have to be a spy. I went with them. I don't know what I was thinking. I want to be with you guys. I want to go against the other people. I want to be with you guys. They're not going to shame him. They're not going to say, where do you get off?
Well, they need him.
Yes, they need him.
Well, this is the thing that Devin did, that happened, which is so crazy. This person, this obvious person, has gotten all this power now. I mean, let's look at the most recent. Sarah Lucina sort of did it in a sneakier way because, you know, but when you have the ability to float between alliances, and that is power.
Yes. And just to bring it back to Survivor, the Amazon, which was, you know, from a million years ago, but there was almost the identical situation where I was the person who was the double agent between the two sides, that there was Alex and Heidi and Jenna, who were, and I was with them. And then we talked about the four, and we had just voted out Dina, who had risen to power. And then people said, oh, she has too much power. And then Alex was the person who was in power. And I was with them, and we said, okay, we're going to get it down to the four. Okay, we're going to worry about it when we get to the four. And so
this didn't get.
Yes.
I interrupted.
Well, no. And then there was also there was Matt and Butch. And there was a whole thing where there was like, oh, those guys are annoying. We don't want to talk to them. Rob, you just tell them the fake plan. And so I was sort of like the intermediary, and I was the only person that was talking to those guys. I said, you know what? Hey, these three people over here, I've got a better chance with them let me get rid of the people that are in power on this side. And then I voted with the other three at the final seven.
A lot of this wasn't shown in 33, but I was told often, go be a double agent and go pretend you're with them.
Yeah.
Michaela talked about it a little in her exit press, and she was one of the few people that acknowledged that I could go anywhere. Like, I would just be like, oh, just being goofy over here. What you guys talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And like, so it backfired for a million reasons and I made a million mistakes, but like the ability to listen into conversations and to, you know, it's just, yeah. And to give it to someone like Ben who,
is capable. And probably there's no more famous double agent in the history of Survivor than Cochran at the merge in Survivor South Pacific, where it's like, okay, Cochran, we're going to send you who's in the lowest position here. You go and act like you're going to flip against us and go find out from Coach and Sophie what's going on over there. And they called, and it's Coach's, I think, best moment on Survivor where he's like, all right, we know what you're trying to do. And you could be with them or you could be with us and you'll be respected with us and you'll be. And Cochran's like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I make a good point. And then Cochran flipped over. The spy is always playing both sides.
Well, I think, you know, it's such a tricky line because people get upset. People say that everyone wanted to be with you and people discredit you. And obviously Cochran and South Pacific was the season. He didn't get the respect that he was so promised. But then we see, you know, Sarah do it well in the last season where, you know, she's in both alliance. She's in the minority, then she's in the majority. She's with everyone.
But did people know she was like on the other side where it was like, okay, go find out the information about what they're doing?
I guess a little less. With her, it was she made everyone feel like her best friend.
Which I think is a little different than being the spy.
Fair. But I do remember literally, it never made air, being told, like, go be the double agent.
Yeah, go find out what those guys are doing over
there. Honestly, got told that.
Yeah.
On multiple occasions. And I would go find out, and I'd have my pick of the litter of where I wanted to go because I was double agenting in both directions.
Yeah. And it's actually a thing that comes up probably a little more on Big Brother than on Survivor.
Because I know they have big keys. They have big keys,
but there's more of like there's groups gathering in different rooms of the house at like different times and people like, OK, find out what they're talking about in there.
I think the best double agent, it's people who can talk their way out of, I'm just goofy or I'm just a double agent. Or in Ben's case, he's just a likable, not a cowboy. I just assume because he's got the hat.
Yeah. But in these cases that we're talking about, it's that somebody gets assigned, okay, you go talk to these people and then tell us what's going on. It's rarely the person that says, I've got an idea. I'll go infiltrate the other group then I'll report back to you guys.
Which is why I think people who get assigned double agents need some credit. I think a lot of times in Survivor, and maybe this is just my personal opinion based on my own experience out there, but that you start and everyone's humble and they just don't want to get voted out. And then people start getting these like egos and they start getting on a roll. And if you can remind yourself not to have an ego about it, you know, if you can navigate everyone else's power egos, then you can sort of find yourself with more options. And I think that's what we're kind of watching play out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, the three of Devin, Ashley, and Lauren are in a great position. They've got her extra vote.
Yeah.
So they technically have four votes. The only thing that mess it up is Ben's got an idol, but they're in a good position.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
The four?
Yeah, four.
Yeah. They're in a good position. They have to worry about those two bogeys that either Ben flipping or Ben's playing his idol.
Right.
And just to play it out, you know, if let's say hypothetically they get rid of now Ryan and Chrissy and Mike, they get boom, boom, boom.
Bye-bye.
Ben's at four then. Yes. Now Ben is at four and Devin's at four.
Devin's at four.
And Ashley's at four. I mean, you have really like four big immunity threats. And I don't know necessarily what the seeding is going to be. that I am. It seems like Ben is 4 out of 4, where that group is going to target him at 4. And maybe it's like the David Wright thing where you can get him at 4 and there's no way to play an idol at 4.
Right.
And that's what they're assuming. But if Ben wins immunity at 4, you know, there's some major problems.
I mean, and here's the other thing to remember. Chrissy and Ryan wanted Ben out at 7. So even... And Chrissy and Ryan wanted Ben out at 7. Lauren and Ashley already are talking about wanting Ben out. That's 4 of the... Lots of people want Ben gone still. Mm-hmm. The problem is they've created this complicated dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all... The next... What plays out is going to rely on Lauren's advantages.
Right. And another thing that we haven't talked about yet is that can they keep it under the cowboy hat that they want Ben gone? Did they say any... Do they think about getting rid of Ben? Do they whisper to the wrong person? Does anybody pick up on a hint where it gets back to Ben and like, hey, Ben, just so you know, Lauren and Devin and Ashley are talking about getting rid of you. And where he says, well, I can't go with them anymore.
Or got to play the idol. I mean, here's the problem with this idol now. You're at 7, right?
Right.
You only have 3 more chances to play it. People, as we've seen, are scared of getting voted out with an idol in their pocket. Mm-hmm. Even if Ben doesn't hear whispers, does some part of him think I'm a threat? People have talked about it. I should just play my idols one of these times. There's only, okay, you got the 7-6-5 vote. He's got an idol. You've only got 2 votes until Ben ends up at 5. Because mm-hmm. he's going to play his idol one of those 3 times, we assume, for himself.
Right. And you end up with sort of like the advantage get-in type scenario where... If a different advantage gets played at a tribal council, that might cause him to freak out and play
her vote.
Again, I don't know necessarily if she has to announce it or if she just puts an extra vote in the urn.
Honestly,
I think we're
these advantages confusing.
A little confusing.
I mean, fun. You could just imagine Jeff Probst, you know, lying down. He has a dream. His dream is an extra vote and he makes it happen. I just assume all of these are Probst fever dreams.
Yes. He writes on a whiteboard. Because Survivor's like a whiteboard.
Just to have that power. Gosh. Yeah, I was gonna use my... after our season, we all got free tickets to Fiji. And I was going to use my ticket and hide in the bushes and just throw random advantages into the game. And then they were going to be like, ooh, this is the advantage. If I take off all my clothes, I'm immune.
It's easy, easy. Careful with that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You get in trouble. Okay. All right. So
if you choose to take your clothes off.
Yes, if you choose to. Okay. Not a proposition. All right. Hannah,
yes.
we're doing so great.
I'm having so much fun chatting with you. It's so much more fun, I will say, to judge other people
mm-hmm.
than to have to talk about my own deep regret that will haunt me for the rest
of my
life.
That's fine. Let me just thank one of our other sponsors, and those are the fine people over at canvaspeople.com.
Ooh.
You know about this? You know what they do?
No, tell me that.
Canvaspeople.com, they will convert any photograph that you have, any photo that's on your iPhone or your camera, or any digital photo, and they will turn it into a beautiful canvas work of art.
So if Jeff Probst, I want him as a canvas, I can get him?
Right, right. Take a Jeff Probst, 11x14 photo, boom, and they've got a great offer, special $0 pricing for the listeners of Rob's Podcast.
What?
You just pay the shipping. It's less than $20. You can have a nice canvas photo, all those photos of you and Zeke, anything, you can turn it into a canvas photo. The Millennials versus Gen X DVD box cover. Take a picture of that with your phone. Boom. Work of art.
I'm in the corner.
Yeah.
I am so honored to be on the cover.
Yeah.
As a nerdy fan, I was just so excited. It's Millennials versus David is the cover. It's all Millennials and
Not
David.
Not anymore. Not anymore when you have that canvas photo hanging up in your house. Normally, that 11x14 canvas is $69.99 plus shipping. But for our listeners, they'll get that down to the $0 price.
What
and you
a
just
deal.
Pay the shipping. Yes.
I want this for Hanukkah.
Okay.
I want to just buy myself gifts
well,
every
it's so
night.
So cheap, you could get it for 8 nights in a row. Different picture.
Different pictures of me covered in dirt on my season.
Over 1 million satisfied customers. To get the offer, go to canvaspeople.com. Upload your picture. 11x14 is what you select. And enter the promo code REJP in the promo box. Get that special $0 pricing at canvaspeople.com. Promo code REJP makes a great gift for the holidays. All right, let's get into some of these questions.
I can't wait to hear the questions. Let's do this.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions for you from the listeners and Facebook and Twitter.
Also, the fans who interact with my tweets, so much fun.
Right.
Loving this fan interaction.
Not
the fans
a lot of
have been great.
Anymore.
Well, you know, again, I'm not on TV, so you can hate on me, but that'd be random now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm nobody.
Yes. Okay. So what about Ryan wants to know, Ryan on Twitter, at Ryan53113.
Okay, Ryan.
What are the chances of seeing Joe 2.0? Is he a potential returnee? Now, we talked about, okay, oh, Joe, so much talking about how he's like a Tony. Is he a good candidate to come back again?
I think he's definitely a standout of the season in that he's clearly willing to play hard. I mean, I think anyone who's willing to do things is going to be a favorite of Probst and the show. I mean, anyone who's out there willing to make moves, willing to do things. He was a colorful character. I think there's no reason he can't be a contender to come back. I do think it's funny that I have this thing. I think every time you're like, well, this person keeps saying they're a threat, they must be a threat, doesn't necessarily make you a threat. I don't know this season if he was as big a threat as everyone was making him out to be, but of course he might come back. I mean, What a fun guy and again, loving the Joe. I just think his spirit about what it should be is on point.
Mm-hmm.
I think JP's a shoo-in to come back. Yeah, clearly the show
clearly,
loved him.
Clearly. you know, the thing about Joe, and I loved the energy that he played with.
Yeah.
But I wonder where, you know, sort of like my first thought on it is that Joe is always going to make things more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, in the same way that Tony ended up, you know, nobody wanted to work with Tony the second time around. And we saw a few people wanted to work with Joe, but for the most part, most of the players
I would
in
want
the
to
season,
work with Joe. You know why? He was loyal to the people he was loyal to, at least this one.
That's true.
When he said he was loyal, he was loyal. I mean, I'm less scared by someone who shouts to the mountaintops, I'm a threat, than someone who doesn't say they're a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just think, oh, I know I can track this person. I don't know. Do you think he's going to get invited back?
I hope so. I'd like to see it because I like that style. But I feel like that one of the things that he struggled with where we talked about like, OK, Devin has these people falling all over themselves wanting to work with him. And Ben has people falling over themselves wanting to work with him. That there were not, although while Dr. Mike really like put himself out there to keep Joe in the game, for the most part, that wasn't really the story of Joe this season. Yeah. Where people were dying to work with
sure.
him.
Sure. I mean, yes, I would also. Yeah.
But
I
again.
Mean,
That Delta, whether or not you're going to be good at the game is not the criteria of
yes,
whether you get invited
oh,
back.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to say, oh, yeah, in that extreme. No, I think it was tough for all the healers going into this merge. I mean, I feel like we can admit that.
I'd give him a green light.
I would rather see Joe come back than someone who's not going to do anything. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give him a green light.
Okay, green light.
Sure. Let's
green light for Joe. Joe 2.0.
What do you think about JP coming back?
Yeah, well, I think he's a shoo-in, right?
And this is no hate to JP. This is just making fun of the fact that he did not get to speak in his boot. I think he's a shoo-in.
Shoo-in. Okay. This is a question from Alex Stewart on Twitter. He wants to know, Hannah has talked a lot about how a gender affected her castmates' perception of her and her game.
Yeah.
Does she feel like something similar is happening with Chrissy?
With Chrissy, listen, every situation is complicated, right? Every situation.
Oh, especially this situation.
Especially this situation. I think it is, I don't know if I'm going to get some hate for this. I think it's always easier to be a white dude playing Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, we've seen it time and time again. That
even when it's all stars? So I didn't think it was that easy, to be honest.
I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying, of course, white. I just mean, you can get away with more things as I think, you know, whether I think race and gender affect perception.
Yes.
In society and on Survivor. And I think on Survivor, perception is everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it's easy or that some seasons the women don't dominate or whatever. But I think that there is more leniency.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard many opinions about Chrissy.
Yes.
As a viewer, I actually like Chrissy. I like watching smart women play. I like that she's, I like that she's waited 16 or something years to get on the show, and she's making the most of it, and she's playing really hard. And I'm a little confused why she gets all the heat. And I think part of that probably has to do with the fact that, you know, when a dude betrays you, it feels more strategic than when a woman betrays you. It feels a little more personal. In this situation, particularly, specifically, I don't know, because I've heard specific stories regarding Chrissy and how what she was doing out there. As a viewer, it feels that gender plays a part in it. But I think gender and race and everything always plays a part in it.
Yeah, it's a especially tricky issue to untangle this season because, you know, as I've talked about it where... You know,
did that make any sense?
Yeah. So no, it makes a lot of sense. You know, my personal opinion on it is that, you know, I'd like to hear Chrissy's side of the story. If it was possible to be able to say that. And I've been criticized on both sides of this issue where it's like, oh, well, why are we attacking Chrissy because she's a strong woman in terms of should if a man was playing the game that she was playing, nobody would say anything. And then and because I've said, hey, could we hear what Chrissy has to say before we condemn her? That I've also been criticized like, hey, why aren't you taking the accounts of the women that said that's how she is? Why are you not acknowledging what they're saying?
Both are fair points.
And I'm saying, I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I'm saying based on the edit, I am seeing a woman out there who is winning challenges, who is very smart, who is making moves. I am only watching what I'm watching in the edit, right?
Right.
And I have heard, I'm like close friends with, I've met some of these people that are saying all, different stories. And it's not that you don't, both can be true. Everyone has their own perception of what happened out there.
Okay.
But let's also not be over dramatic and say like,
oh, wow.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't.
Yeah. Well, let's isolate it to
because I've
we
also
saw.
Been told.
Yeah. Well, let's put it in the context of the in the episode last night.
Okay.
Because we saw had a scene with Chrissy and Lauren in the episode.
Yes.
And you know, Lauren appeared to identify that you know Chrissy is not an endgame person for me because Chrissy never talked about the game with me. This was a similar complaint that Rourke had made with Chrissy of, yes. Oh, now that we lost the challenge, this is when you decide to talk to me? Does Chrissy have an issue with that she does not, isn't socializing with the other women? Is she only coming to them when it's time to talk shop?
Okay, I have a few opinions on this. When I was out there, I was of the opinion, have a relationship with every single person. You know, because you never know who, where you're going to want to maneuver, what you're going to, that's the Jeremy Collins theory, right? Which is have a personal relationship with each person. So I would say then perhaps Chrissy is making the mistake where she is only whispering loudly to the people she considers allies. Is it based on gender? Who am I to say that as a viewer? And who am I to critique? I mean, because I remember being out there and I was handed a similar critique of, well, why didn't you? You know, you spoke about gender bias and all these things. And yes, I should have perhaps remembered my pregame thought of if I go to the end with a strategic dude, someone on the jury looked at him and said, I don't know exactly what moves have landed, but you seem strategic. And I'm like, yeah, because he's like a smart white dude and I'm not. But and I should have remembered those gender biases. But when I was out there, it's not like I was like, ooh, like I don't want to work with this person because I just happened. I happened to work well with Adam, Ken, people who I at the time thought I had a chance against, was maneuvering with them, and Dave. Out there,
there's a million factors.
There's a million factors. And I am not going to say, because from the stories I've heard, you know, someone like Rourke was targeted by Chrissy very early upon hitting that swap beach. And maybe Chrissy was intimidated by this other smart, strategic woman.
But also
maybe not.
There was one healer and that was an easy person to target.
And, you know, maybe Chrissy is finding, I just remember when people would critique, you know, my choices out there And I'm just thinking, like, there were a million factors, a million alliances moving around. Mm-hmm. You know, there were a million reasons why I went with X, Y, and Z instead of X, you know, instead of A, B, and C. I think we've seen time and time again, and I don't know if Chrissy falls into this category, but, you know, women, especially women over the age of 21, I don't know, over the age of a certain age, yeah. Mother would get a little bit of it's hard. Then again, I've also heard specific stories where
she's getting branded with the mom thing. I don't think
What are some of the critiques? Because I'm not also reading everyone's exit press.
Rourke, Allie, and Jessica were all like, they had different shades of saying the same thing that they...
Rourke didn't say any... I think we shouldn't group all of those women together. Rourke did not bash Chrissy in any of her exit press.
I wouldn't say that she bashed, but I felt that she felt that Chrissy did not want to work with her. And perhaps I don't want to misquote, but she said that she was maybe isn't intimidated by, smart women. And maybe she saw Rourke as a younger version of herself. I thought that was sort of like
gist. So what were the critiques of, like Allie and...
Well, it was really Desi was the most harsh towards Chrissy in one particular interview. To me, I feel like that the person that I really would be most interested to get the answer from this in addition to Chrissy, that Ashley. Ashley is the person. We've seen her work closely with Chrissy going back to last week's episode where Ashley was the person that said she wanted to get rid of Joe. She came to Chrissy. Chrissy said, I'm like-minded in that. I want to go after Joe. And they went to Ben, and Ben was the one that put his foot down and said no. But then this week, we saw Ashley turning her back on Chrissy. It was ultimately Ashley who turned on Chrissy, not the other way around. So I feel like that it would be a very interesting dynamic to explore.
I mean, there's so much you're not seeing and there's so much we can't understand. I would just remind everyone that everyone watching and reading Exit Press, that everyone has a specific experience out there.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, things become melded into the same opinions, kind of one group mind-ish. But everyone has their own experience out there and like is affected by their own things. I don't know. I wish this was a black and white thing. I just think it's a little bit more gray area.
Right. And that's what has been my opinion on this. I think it's unfair.
People are going to think I'm playing too many sides here, but like, I just think it's gray.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's gray. I believe that these women felt targeted. I also believe that Chrissy was trying to play a strategic game in which she, you know.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What do you think?
I think that, you know, if you look at the exact circumstances of Rourke and Allie going out back to back from a strategic point of view, that voting a different way does not make any sense for Chrissy on those particular votes, because you had that she swapped with JP, who was the other hero that was there.
Yeah.
And then Ryan gave her the idol. So that was sort of a thing where she's like, OK, I trust this person. He gave me an idol. And so there was only two women left to pick from in terms of who she was going to target. So her target was kind of set by default there. It was going to be Rourke. It was going to be Allie. Just the order was the only thing.
With the Desi vote, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the vote I'm thinking? Where the healers could have stuck together and done some damage?
Potentially.
I didn't understand why the healers all voted in different directions, but I did understand why Desi was voted out instead of Joe. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I think just because someone is shouting from the rooftops, I am a threat, doesn't make them a bigger threat. I mean, I think Desi, you know, socially and physically, the cool thing about the season is or the women are dominating physically.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge beasts, Ashley, Desi, Chrissy, Lauren, these are women are taking the necklaces, which is awesome. And I don't know fully that, you know, was it fully Chrissy that wanted Desi over?
And Chrissy, just to be fair, voted for Joe on both votes. I think she voted for Joe on the first vote and on the revote. She was the only person that voted for Joe on the revote. So, but again, I don't want to, this is a complicated issue.
It's complicated.
It's about more than voting. that there seems to be an impression that Chrissy gave off to the other women in the game that she did not want to go to the end with them. I don't know what that is or why that was.
I mean, and there's often some level of truth in gut feelings. If you feel like this woman, for whatever reason, did not want other strategic women out there, there's probably truth in that on some level, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, if these are the feelings that are, it's so complicated. Yeah. There's so many factors.
So here you are. You're a smart woman and you don't even know. So what chance do I have to even talk about this?
Because I mean, like, yeah, I mean, even to the point, let's say hypothetically, this is not true. Let's say hypothetically, Chrissy didn't like strategic women. What if she didn't like strategic women because she thought she could play these egotistical boys better?
Yeah, these
like,
guys are a bunch of idiots.
Is that, I don't know. I don't know what's bad or good. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated. I think we have to remember, there's so many factors.
There's a lot of factors. Okay.
All right.
All right. This is a question for you that this is Edward Morris. Edmo wants to know, how was it being on the Match Game panel?
It was so fun, but I did feel bad. We were not matching with the contestants,
mm-hmm.
but we were matching with each other, which mm-hmm. makes me think we were doing something right.
You're doing something right.
And then people in the audience came up after and said we were matching with things they had. I felt bad that people didn't gain points, but I had fun. That was so much fun.
Good, good.
It was so much. What a weird event.
Well, I felt nervous that I was like, you guys seemed so anxious on the panel, and like when it felt like that you and Aubrey and David like all
say,
next to each other.
You put me,
like,
Dave, and Aubrey next to each other.
Put you
we'll
guys,
be
there
anxious.
Was not an assigned
seats. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Dave, Aubrey, and I were next to each other. You could put us in a McDonald's, and the three of us would probably get anxious.
Yeah.
Less to do with you.
But you guys had, it was, you had a fun time.
I had fun. That was great. What a like cool event.
Mm-hmm.
The fans were great. And yeah.
Okay.
Edward, thank you for your question.
Yes.
Edward Morris?
Edmo. Yes. Okay. This is a question. John Tinkham. Yes.
Oh, great name.
Have you had the opportunity to rub your TV Guide 2016 Best TV Performance of the Year award in the face of runner-up Millie Bobby Brown?
That was...
Were you the winner?
I was the winner. Thank you
wow.
to the Survivor fans. Yes, it was a poll for Best TV Performance.
What's the bigger honor? Getting on the Millennials versus Gen X cover or being the 2016 TV Guide Best TV Performance of the Year?
I think we'd have to go to Rocks because it's a tie.
It's a tie.
It was so funny. It was all actors in scripted shows, like incredible actors, and then there was me.
Yeah.
And the Survivor fans stepped up and they kept voting. And so it was the most random part of my season
mm-hmm.
was winning this TV Guide. Oh, it was so funny.
And so what is it? Is it like a mock-up TV Guide cover?
I don't know exactly. I mean, it was within the TV Guide. It was this link. It was this part of their site. And I got a little blurb about why I gave a great performance as me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it was wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
It was
congratulations.
It was thanks to the Survivor fans for like voting.
Who is going to be the 2017 award winner?
Definitely JP.
JP. All right. This is from a question from Dara, who says you were in a similar situation to Ryan mm-hmm. where people you thought were your allies left you out of a blindside. Is there anything that Devin can do to regain Ryan's trust, or is it a lost cause? Should he try to get him out as soon as he can?
That's so tricky.
It's
because
a good question.
It's a great question. Who was the name?
Dara.
Dara. Thank you, Dara. That was a great question. I mean, to start, I mean, it is a severing thing when you get left out of a vote or blindsided. I mean, I remember people were coming up to me from my season, you know, some of the people that first included me in the vote only at Tribal and then blindsided me. And they still didn't understand why I ended up moving away from them in the game. And I'm like, well, you severed that tie when you didn't include me. But some people are able to bring people in after blindsiding them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the key right now is that Ryan needs Devin.
Yes.
I mean, I think Ryan and Chrissy are, like I said, they're fish floated in the sea. I mean, Mike, too.
That another Lauren reference?
Yeah, I just, you know, fisherwoman.
She had one in the episode last night that yes. she was just like, you know, as a fisherwoman, I'm not going to jump ship and get in a different boat and I got to see, you know, see how this goes. So she's locked in.
She's killing it with the fish. I mean, let's talk about metaphors. Her metaphors. I mean, I just imagine.
Is that why people are upset with Ryan? Because he does not have any
bellhop metaphors? Yeah. Definitely.
It's like, look, I know I got a lot of baggage because I'm a bellhop.
I just want to be tipped off about the vote. That's not as good. I think the reason why Devin has a chance with Ryan is because Ryan is a little desperate right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a question for you.
Oh God, you're laughing already.
Kevin wants to know, why is Lauren not getting the credit she deserves for making the alliance last night?
Is she not? Because I feel like Lauren brought the four together and very much got the credit for that. We saw Lauren bring people together. I believe we got confessionals of her saying, right, this is what we even got that slow-mo walkout from the reward challenge of her saying, this was on purpose.
Yes.
I feel like the fans love Lauren.
Yes.
I feel like Lauren's getting credit. What is the credit that is lacking here?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that this is more directed towards myself and Steven, who really gets off pretty easy. Like, he shows up like 1 hour a week and then doesn't have to deal with any of the negative feedback and then just shows up again. But I think that the biggest thing that it has to do with is that it was a 2 hour episode. So she made a big move in the first hour. And I think that that sort of got obscured by the events that, you know, she made a big move 30 minutes into a 2 hour show. And then, you know, we're talking about what's going on at the end of 2 hours. So I think that her big move, then Devin comes along and adds the spy part on top of that. And then we have all of the events of the second hour and then Joe going home and then the ability for, Ben to have an idol. And, you know, so had we just done 1 hour of Survivor last night.
Episode one is Lauren's hands down.
Right. Lauren would have gotten a lot more credit.
Unfortunately, episode two was Ben's.
Right.
Because, I understand now. Well, Lauren, I think, owned episode one. You just have to understand that for episode two, Ben, this huge threat, managed to stay in the game without playing his idol, which he found in episode two, and then get out Joe.
Did he find it in episode two or episode one?
Ooh, good question.
I think it was in episode one.
Okay, well, either way, he was able to keep his idol, not play it, get out Joe, who he's been wanting to get out. So I do think Lauren deserves a whole lot of credit. I mean, So I guess this is more towards you. I think Lauren's killing it.
Yeah. My apologies to all of the Lauren fans out there.
I'm a huge Lauren fan.
Who isn't?
Lauren very much could take it all. Yeah. I mean, Lauren is doing great.
And I was asked this question coming into this of like, what, you know, we did the patron cast where I take phone calls from the patrons. And I was asked, what is the hardest part about covering the 2 hour episode? And I had said, sometimes something will happen in the first hour that doesn't get its due because we end up going into stuff that happens in the second hour. And I would say that this is probably something in that category.
Lauren changed the game and saved her future at seven.
Game changer.
Yeah. Lauren is a game changer.
Okay. Ian Rice wants to know, what does Ashley need to do to avoid being a finalist who gets no credit for getting herself to the end with her chosen final three? We actually got to see a little bit of Ashley last night in terms of her talking about how, like, hey, I'm making big moves.
His last name is Rice.
Yes.
That's great. If he was on Survivor, he would be like, oh, Rice, go get some rice.
Yeah, like Jim Rice.
Honestly, yeah. Oh, yeah, good point. If you got to get someone.
I don't know if they asked him that.
How is Ashley going to get...
How does she get to the final three and not be a zero vote finalist? And again,
I'm the wrong person to ask this. it's tricky with Ashley because here's my thing. I understand that it's hard because we didn't hear from Ashley on TV much. And up until, Ashley had a lot more to say to the audience last night than she ever has. It's hard because, again, this is just from the edit, but it seems like she got frustrated sort of listening to the bigger group and then sort of started listening to a smaller group. at the same time, I see her.
That would have been a good tweet.
I refuse. I will only critique on podcasts in which to all former play or to all current players.
We're two hours in.
No, here's the thing. Current players can avoid podcasts. They know critiques are coming. Mm-hmm. My issue is with people who would tweet things out. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yes. I Ashley is now seems to be more taking Lauren's lead. But listen, I think she clearly is excited to make moves and is a part of the shift of the game. It's just tricky from what we're being shown of her. Mm-hmm. I think she's playing a smart game. Her and Devin seem really excited to be together because they've both been sort of playing, I don't want to say behind flashier players, but playing next to flashier players. And they are starting to see that if they can get rid of the flashier players, they might have a shot together. I'm not sure, based on the edit, what combination of players would guarantee an Ashley win.
Yeah, I feel like that she doesn't
Does
have a lot
sense?
Of options. Yeah, that where we're talking about, like, where Ben, he's got a conduit to everybody. That every right. that he has a direct connection to every player in the game. Ashley is sort of like, she's with her group and she knows Chrissy, you know, that she was working with Chrissy, but she's betrayed Chrissy. And so she's a little bit cut off from them. She's really just got to, like, put her eggs in the, straight shot basket. And then, I mean, I don't know. She talked about big moves. I don't know necessarily what, like, getting Ben out would have been a great big move for her to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, like, I got criticized some episodes of the same thing I think Ashley's getting criticized of, which is why I sympathize with her, which is that, you know, you feel like you're making this move, but the credit is being given to other people. So I understand that she could. There have been so many instances where I feel like the Ashley confessional that we've been shown has been, God, I'd love to make this move. And then we haven't seen her able to make that move. And I think what we tend to see from people who win is, God, I wish I could make this move. And then they make the move.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, I was a zero vote finalist, so I'm probably, it's a tea kettle calling the other tea kettle black.
Mm-hmm. But you have expertise.
Yeah.
You know the warning signs.
It's just hard because I think based on what we've seen, I'm not sure that she's being given the story of victory.
Okay. Ken wants to know if Lauren wins.
Ken McNichol?
No, not Ken McNichol, apparently. if Lauren wins, will she be in the GOAT conversation? Greatest of all time.
No, I did. I was thinking. I mean, I think she is just such a fan favorite. I think she would be such a unique, fun winner. Mm-hmm. Like, because she is playing so well. I mean, think about it this way. Let's look at her resume right now. She's won a challenge. Mm-hmm. She's found an advantage.
She's won multiple challenges.
She uses her boobs to move pieces during the challenges, which is amazing.
She, like, knocks them into.
Knocks them in. My parents were like, didn't that hurt?
No.
Like, I don't know. She's making moves. I mean, she's got the story and resume of a winner, and yet she's also just such a unique character and voice. I think she would definitely, if not greatest of all time, definitely be a fan favorite winner up there, you know, with the fan favorite winners of the past.
Okay. Mo Saunders wants to know, who is your winner pick and why is it Lauren?
Why is it Lauren?
Yes.
Oh, she's saying, it's a joke. She's asking.
That's what she's saying.
Listen, when you're a fisherwoman, I think this is the reason why this is going to be such a fun finish is that there are a bunch of people that could take it.
Okay,
I think. And why is it Lauren? See, this is what I mean. She's just loved by people.
Seven Scoreless from Twitter wants to know: is Lauren the new Ceri?
Oh, interesting.
I think she's better than Ceri.
Oh, whoa! Fighting words. I think
has the Lauren hype train gotten too out ahead of itself?
Here's what I think. I think the reason why people would compare her to someone like Ceri is someone who initially observed what people were doing, mm-hmm. and then taught herself how to play well. I mean, that's why you'd compare her to Ceri. Because people thought, who is this lady? And now she's, excuse my language, she's dominating.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, people love, my Lauren tweets do. People love, I love Lauren. Oh, God.
We're on the move.
Lauren. I mean, that's why I think we'll make it clear. I love Lauren.
Yes.
I think this next move, this next couple episodes and how she uses her advantage will be kind of the decider for her, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's either going to walk the mountain victory.
She's got to use that advantage correctly. She's got the power. She's got the power. And as Stephen Fishback could tell you, you know, it's not always easy to, you know, nail that vote advantage correctly.
Here's the thing.
Easier said than done.
She's been killing it. And speaking of people invited back, whether she wins or doesn't, I mean, welcome back, Lauren.
Yes, because you think Lauren automatic returnee invite.
I think she's just so, the fans are enjoying her so much. She's so unique.
Yes. This is a question from Kyle. Hannah, you're my hero. What? I need to know, how does Barry White sound on vinyl?
Wait, why am I his hero?
I don't know. Do you have a Barry White record player?
I don't think so. Wait, who? Kyle?
This is from Kyle.
Gosh, Kyle, I don't know why you're
how
my...
How does Barry White sound on vinyl?
I don't know why I'm your hero, and I don't know...
Have you confused with a different Hannah?
Probably.
Okay.
Kyle, I'm so sorry that I'm not the hero you've
been waiting for.
Or you're thinking of.
Okay. Carrie wants to know, what food would you sit out of a challenge for?
Oh, none. Unless
you would never do that.
Here's the thing. I understand. I got this explained to me because my season, we were also offered food. And I got told not offering food shows to your allies that you're loyal and you trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. But for some reason, I'm just so scared of sitting out of a challenge for food and then getting kicked off. And for the rest of my life being like, oh, all for the stupid ham and cheese sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, you know, I'm just thinking all about, I would just never forgive myself. I just wouldn't do it. And I was really hungry and I didn't do it. So I think I can honestly say I don't sit out for food.
You know, I've heard it both ways where, and let me bring in another question that's about this from another listener. This is a question from Vanessa. It says, shouldn't Ben feeling safe by eating peanut butter and chocolate with Devin and Lauren at the challenge signal to Chrissy and Ryan that he might not be with them? How much trust should you put in someone who's willing to sit out a challenge, enjoy the rest of your week?
I actually think the opposite. I think sitting out proves to your allies that you trust them. I do think that the big signal that Ben was not voting with them was that for the first time ever, we saw Ben say, I don't care where the vote goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that circle, I've never seen Ben in a roundtable meeting not care where the vote goes.
Right.
He did not care.
Yeah.
But again, on your couch, it's easier to see it than when you're out there.
Yeah, but that's something that Tyson has talked a lot about, where whatever somebody can say to end the conversation quicker, that's usually a tell that they're being dishonest with you. Because
oh,
you know from Survivor, people want to talk these things to death.
Oh, my God.
Even though, okay. Oh, all right. Oh, so, okay. Well, you think it should be this person? Are you sure it shouldn't be this person? Okay, then what do we do next? Okay, so, when, okay. Oh, so,
yep.
So it's Dave, then Adam, then Ken. Okay. Okay.
But what if it was this?
And then what if they play an idol?
Michaela vote? I was like, Will, Jay, why'd you go into the woods for so long? Oh, we didn't. It's definitely Sunday or Brett. Like, it's, yes. They yes, exactly that. Sorry I interrupted, but you're right.
Okay.
It's not the sitting out of the challenge. It's the him not caring and ending the conversation. Mm-hmm. There were signs watching it back fully fed on my couch.
Mm-hmm. With confessionals. Yes.
With confessionals.
Yes. Yes. David wants to know, what's the story behind...
Wright?
No, David Baltazar. What's the story behind your visit to the Will and Grace set?
Oh, yeah. Well, I am friends with someone who works on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he...
Deborah Messing.
Okay, yes. Deborah Messing is actually my best friend.
Wow.
And my lover.
Whoa.
And she was like, Hannah, I just want you to come visit the set and then kiss me sweetly and tell me I did a good job. And so, yeah, the story behind it is that I am Deborah Messing's lover.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Randy wants to know, what is your unhealthy fascination with Devin? What is your unhealthy fascination with him?
First of all, let's go cool it. I had a few tweets calling him hot. And then someone was like, whoa, Hannah's thirsty. My goal.
You resent that.
Here's the thing. For so many years on Survivor.
You are not thirsty.
No, I'm always thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But for water, for so many years
You're
on
parched.
For so many years on Survivor, it was these interesting dynamic men and these beautiful pageant women. And I just felt like I remember being a 14-year-old girl watching these women be objectified season and season again, watching these guys get to be clever and weird and call women hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if I'm ever on that show, I'm going to objectify every single dude and I'm going to be making the commentary. And I did it my season and I will continue to do it moving forward. Because, yeah, Devin's beautiful.
Why not?
That doesn't make me... I'm not unhealthily obsessed with Devin. But why is everyone allowed to say they want to, you know, do it with Parvati and Andrea? No one gives...
I don't think that people are allowed to say that anymore.
Yeah, probably not. I'll stop with Devin. I'm so sorry. I'm not doing anything. If Devin told me this, I'm just saying, like, I think, like, you know, I think it's okay to call someone cute on your Twitter.
If that's what they're going for.
Yeah, maybe I should rethink this. I'm going to get...
I mean, if he's, like, going to resents it, if he's like, yeah. Hey... Like,
but you... I haven't done anything. I've said that he's good looking.
Yeah.
Does anyone disagree that he's good looking?
Nobody. Last night you tweeted, you had a haiku.
Okay.
Can I read it back to you?
Sure,
you remember
you can read it back. I'd love to hear you say it.
Coconuts and feet, cowboy hat, double agent, fisherwoman reigns. So you are giving Lauren the proper credit.
On the Lauren train.
Yes.
Don't play it. It sounds like a train crash.
Okay. Well, we don't want to jinx her.
Yeah, I have so much fun live tweeting again. I just, the interaction with the fans are so fun. I like making fun of myself and the players.
You tweeted, if you want to be the swing vote this virus season, you have to sit in the literal swing. That's good.
Yeah, they were talking about swing votes while they swing. Yeah. It was amazing.
And I thought that, again, just to go to the literal of the season, or a lot of these analogies, then Chrissy, she sat in the swing. And what did she say? She's like, oh, this is so perfect. Like, she said, like, something about, like, oh, this was made for me.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it's all visual. It's all storytelling.
Chrissy in the swing. Devin tries on the hat. It's all there for you.
Yeah.
Survivor is magic.
Ben taking a shower. I don't know what that means.
Yes. No, he was washing himself of the weight of being the
King
front runner.
Arthur.
Yes. He was going to have that, the cleansing. It was in a lot of ways, it was like a baptism.
Yes.
Yes.
I'd say all of this was obvious. And if you didn't see it, you are dumb.
You are dumb. This is the Survivor Book Club.
This was clear.
Yes. And then what else did you say? That Devin, power leads to blindness. Blindness leads to cluelessness. Cluelessness is fear. Yeah. So we nailed this.
Yeah. It was just so funny. We had the same Star Wars brain.
Yeah. We're right there. Okay, and then I saw you tweeting with Mike Bloom about the Coconuts improv team.
I've been to so many indie improv shows. And Ryan's face watching Mike and Joe was everyone's face at every indie improv team.
And is Coconuts, is that the most overused team name for in the improv? Is that hacky?
I mean, I said the word trust clusters a bunch, so yes. Who am I to judge?
Do you feel are there trust clusters this season? I feel like that there are.
Are there, I guess, a little bit. I mean, are there trust clusters? Are there voting blocks? Are there alliances? Are there Jeff Probst's, I don't know, groupings?
Mm-hmm.
I think what Coconuts was, I mean, if we're being serious about Coconuts for a sec, I think it came from, and I remember this when I was on the bottom. When you're on the bottom and you feel hopeless, it's when you start having the most fun sometimes. When I was on the bottom with Dave, I called us the bottom dwellers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing to lose. And I think Joe and Mike felt like, there's nothing to lose. Let's have some fun. Let's have a goofy name. Let's do this thing. Whereas people on the top, Lauren, Ben, Ashley, Devin, they're in a much more serious headspace. Ryan, Chris, because they're, you know, they don't feel like they're on the bottom.
Now, you recently had a ski boot that was filled with trail mix.
I did. Yes.
How did that happen?
Oh my God, I can't believe this. I bought these ski boots that I had rented the year before. And my mom was like, here you go. Here's your ski boots. I put in the first one. I was like, oh, there's something in here. I go to put in the other one. It is inexplicably filled with trail mix. Not even a bag inside the boot. It is. Mm-hmm. And I almost stuck my foot in. Then I took my other foot out and I was on an M&M, an almond. Sorry. I do not know. I think my mom was snacking and just must have accidentally dumped them in.
Why?
Why does my mom do anything?
Wait, like as a prank?
I don't know. Not even a prank. There was accidental trail mix. I will say, for those keeping up with my social media, I guess, over this week, I played the Survivor board game.
Oh, yeah. How did that go? Yeah, I saw pictures of it.
Terribly.
On Instagram.
Yes, I tagged you because I had this poll. Should I do it? Yes or no? And you voted no. Big mistake.
I did.
It was. I got to the.
I
won final tribal or final immunity. And I had to decide whether to take my dad or my mom to the end. And my dad, can I just say something? My dad is so hurt that he's less a part of the survivor community because he wasn't a family visit. So my dad, Robert Shapiro, would very much like to be a part of the community. Mm-hmm. He feels like people wanted me to take my mom to the end because people don't know him. So what would you like to know about my dad?
Well, what was the jury?
The jury would be, because we didn't have enough people, whoever was left. So I had to vote someone out. They were at the jury. And my dad was like,
So it was just the three of you guys played.
And my dog was playing, but okay. He didn't have a vote.
Yes. I bet he would win in the end. And he can't let the dog get to the final
two. My dog was sort of getting a JP edit. He was there, but not getting confessionals.
Yeah. And again, much like JP is like, you know, he never screwed me over. He was loyal.
My dog.
He minded his own business.
Won the game. It was the most horrible game, though.
Yes.
If you've ever played Survivor for real, don't play a Survivor board game. My mom, I was just like, Mom, I don't want to finish this game. I don't want to go to Final Tribal again.
Did you guys Periscope this game? Put it on Instagram
we
Live?
We Instagram stored it.
Okay. Yeah. How did you do a vote on Instagram? I didn't even know you could do that.
You have to download the newest version.
The newest version of Instagram. You can let people vote on stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I Instagram story. Mm-hmm. Fishback actually texted me and said, don't play that game.
Yeah. No, I think it was just like sort of like a cash grab that they just like got out like right after the first season. I don't think they really like thought it through.
I mean, there were weird. There was a treasure chest. Yes. And I asked a current Survivor player. I was like, am I not remembering a treasure chest? And he told me that in the first season, the $1 million was in the treasure chest.
Well, I think it was prop money, but
no,
yeah.
It was real money.
That was the real money.
And it was a lot less by the end. Those crew members were just
yes, it's a strip search, idle strip search everybody on the way in and out of the challenge. Let's see, what else is going on? Anything?
Gosh, I feel like we've covered so many bases.
You may be going to Australia.
Yeah, I may take a random trip to Australia.
A random trip. Wow, look at you.
I know, just everywhere.
What a life you have where you may just decide willy-nilly.
I'll have to use the Fiji ticket before it expires, right. Which is in a few weeks. That's why. It's not that I randomly take trips. It's this trip. I know someone in Australia. It would be a free trick.
Who do you know in Australia? Lockie?
I know a friend of a family. No one knows. But no, it would be a free trip, essentially. It's not that I'm a jet setter.
Yes.
I didn't win. I don't get to just go jet set.
Yeah, go wherever you want.
No, life is good.
Right. Does it concern you as an American that on Twitter that there, I believe, to be more Australian Survivor GIFs on Twitter when you search for Survivor GIFs? I believe that the Australian Survivor GIFs now outnumber American Survivor GIFs.
I mean, I don't know how to attach a separate. I have to use the Twitter GIFs.
Yes.
There are not enough. Of me specifically. How do you make them?
I could not even find one of you.
I couldn't either.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked. I'm very self-centered.
And I also feel like that the search on that is not good. So I typed in Hannah and then I got all Hannah Montana.
Well, to be clear to those listening, if you type in, there are plenty of GIFs on me, not on Twitter, but the Twitter attachable
right,
GIFs.
Right.
I was a very GIFable person.
There are
I feel
two
like I can
of me,
say that.
I believe.
Okay.
One is me saying, why does he need the machete so sharp? He's going to kill us because there's so many practical applications of that. And then I saw that. Then it was one of me saying, I believe Rob and Amber are going to do it. Again, another super
actually,
useful.
There's one of mine. There's yes. There's me getting
how do
blindsided.
I find it? How do I find it?
I don't. I think it's not even Survivor Hannah. It's just Survivor, and you keep scrolling. Maybe Survivor 33. There's me going, what? After the Michaela blindside, which is actually a very usable GIF.
Yeah, and you know what? Speaking of Michaela, I saw the GIF of Michaela drinking the tea when JT got voted out about something that was completely unrelated to Survivor. I was watching
Michaela mainstream.
No, you know what it was? It was I saw somebody had tweeted about how Ann Curry right now after these Matt Lauer allegations be like,
wow, and then it was Michaela
drinking the tea.
Honestly, Michaela drinking the tea is in my mind at all times, so it should be in pop culture.
Yeah.
Michaela, I just called myself Jiffable. How arrogant. Michaela was the most Jiffable.
Right. Well, this was something going back to when Cochran was here, and he was talking about how he felt like survivors were playing the game for the Gif-able moments.
Here's the thing. There were a few people that accused me of putting on an act of being quirky or something, and I hope I've proved that I was literally being myself. I wasn't playing for the moments. I will say, people were like, oh, Hannah reacts at Tribal. Everyone else is stony face. And I'm like, holy moly. I was having fun. I was on Survivor. I knew that, like, why not have as much fun as the audience at home?
Like, Ryan was asked in the immunity challenge last week, like, Ryan, how are you? He's like, Jeff, I'm on Survivor. I'm doing good. He's like, yeah, that's right.
But still, Ryan has no one to take to
prove. Nobody. Everybody hates his guts.
You know, I think when you're on there, if you're a big enough fan, there is, whether or not you're a Ryan archetype, a meta element to it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, for me, yeah, every moment, it was like you walk into your
TV
screen.
This is the move. And I'll do this for any Survivor 36 person that's listening. Delete all your social media.
No, that is not.
If we can't find you, we'll love you. If you're there,
like Lauren, no one can find
Lauren. Right. Nobody knows where Lauren does. Lauren even have a computer? Nobody knows.
See, you know what's crazy, though? My cast was so scared of breaking the rules. We never tweeted during our season. There were a few people that would tweet.
Yeah.
This cast interacts with each other, post photos. I mean, we were always too scared to do that, which is why immediately when the season was over, when we all went to Vegas, we had a blast because suddenly we were free of limitations.
Mm-hmm.
I think my biggest advice for people if they're on the show is like allow yourself to tune it out a little bit. I know you're a fan of the show, but don't listen to the things you're used to listening to. I mean, always listen to RHAP, but other than that, you know, I just think I even remember thinking, oh, this is a good episode. I like this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tune into something and it would be criticized. And I was like, why did I tune into this?
Right. And we were unfair to you?
Oh, no, I'm not going to complain about unfairity. I just remember
Steven, right? Just Steven.
Steven got a lot of likes on tweets about me. That's all I'll say. I think Fishbag's great.
To be fair, Steven gets a lot of likes on tweets making fun of me also. So
no,
I feel you.
Fishback and I will text all year about the challenge.
He came after me and attacked my grammar on Twitter today.
To be clear, Fishback is not the alumni I'm talking about. I don't want him to get all the heat for whatever. No, I just think it's good. I just remember I gave up my Twitter for certain weeks. No, but I just remember thinking, like, I'm happy. I know what my game mistakes were, and I've been told what they were, and I understand them. Mm-hmm. But there were certain episodes where I was like, oh, I agree with the moves that I made. And then you open the internet, and they tell you why you are the worst.
Look, here's the thing about the commentary, and it's the thing that everybody has to remember, like the listeners and also the people that are on the shows that are playing, like, we don't know how it's going to work out.
No.
We are processing everything. We only see a little bit of the show.
Edit, yeah.
We also don't know necessarily what's going to happen next week. You made a good move on the show. We might think it's a dumb move next week, and next week it turns out to be a great move. You don't need to tell us then when we think it's a dumb move. You just get to sit back and say, those stupid idiots.
Also, the biggest thing, in addition to that, is that at home, you see all the confessionals, all the stories. Mm-hmm. You know why, like, Ryan and Chrissy and Lauren and Ben feel like, and Devin feel like the biggest players right now? It's because we're hearing from them more than we did, like, JP. Out there, as shocking as it is, JP was talking as much as anyone.
Right.
So, like, of course he was whoever it is, you're not seeing everything. It's like, it's easy to sit on your couch and hear everyone's story and decide who has the best chance to win or who is playing the best game. You don't got that out there. You also, I mean, I appreciated the scene in which Chrissy was hungry and in the shelter and Mike brought her rice. I thought that was a very important scene. I know it was setting up her immunity win.
what I liked about it was that it was very on millennials versus Gen X, that it was not about strategy. And it was about, I got to see the characters.
I just think moments like that remind you, early seasons, we're told these people are hungry. This is hard. They're mentally being drained. We sort of forget that. Mm-hmm. Like, I know,
and it was raining. It was the weather was right. Had really turned for the first time.
I just remember, you know, remembering that my mental state was not at 100% allowed me to forgive myself for some of the mistakes that I made.
Yeah. Is Millennials versus Gen X becoming an overrated season, Hannah? Everybody, except for some people on social media, have said that it's the best recent season. It's soaring up everybody's season rankings.
Honestly, Millennials Gen X, worst season ever.
Worst season.
Because here's why I'll say this. Because the archetype of that nerdy meta girl who loved Jeff Probst, overdone. Honestly, second rate Aubrey. And just real annoying. No chance of ever winning. And she really ruined it for me, personally.
Okay. Well, if you want to check it out, available now on DVD. Get Hannah on
the cover. I can't believe she was on the cover.
She's on the cover.
All right, I'll stop doing third person weird.
Yes. Of course, feel free to check that out on any of our Amazon links. You click on there's an Amazon banner and the link underneath. I have all of the Amazon DVDs right there. If you click that text link.
Make it into a
Amazon
canvas.
Influencer. Yeah, you could turn it into a canvas if you so desire. that we have every season of Survivor is now available on DVD through Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
You can order it? Dave said this was never going to happen.
Well, I don't know if it might be a pre-order, but every single season is currently available on Amazon through the DVD. You could check that. And really, Millennials versus Gen X has become my official go-to season of podcast guests. That I have so many amazing podcast guests. Pound for pound, Millennials versus Gen X is the best podcast guest season of the show.
Well, speak for all of us because I'm the only one here.
Yeah, you speak for all of us. But you guys are, it's a great group.
It is a good group. It is a great group. And it's a great group of people. And I'm glad you keep inviting us to your events and your... I can't wait till I can tune into that JP podcast.
Yes. And you know, and I'll say that.
I love JP. I'm only making fun of the fact that the show didn't show us
anything. Well, I'm sure he'll be listening to 2.5 hours into your podcast.
JP and I Skype every day.
Yes. But I feel like that this season that's on currently, that not to slight Millennials versus Gen X.
I feel like they are similar
in that it's a really good group. And
I think Mike will do your thing in a heartbeat.
I think there's a lot of standouts and a lot of really fun personalities. I think that to me is the real connective tissue between your season and this season, and that the casting of the new players was really they hit on 75% clip on both seasons.
I love new player seasons. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, yay all-star seasons, but I just think there's something so, fresh and fun about watching strangers meet and then form really intense bonds and seeing how it all plays out. Dynamics that is so pure on a new player season. And I think, 36 is going to be a new player season. Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing, it's so fun to meet someone like Lauren.
Yes.
And to jump on board the train that you didn't know you were on before.
Yeah. We might have to, we talked about the Devin hype train, but the Lauren hype train might be now passing. Now
Devin, no one competes with a Lauren hype train.
Yeah, no, I think the Lauren hype train might be out in front.
If a fan favorite still got $10,000 or whatever, if we were really back in the day, she would get handed $1 million like Rupert.
That's right. I remember that. All right, Hannah, after this, now I'm going to be putting up the Christmas tree downstairs. Are you going to stay and help us
trim
the tree?
I kind of want to. I've never trimmed a tree. That sounds so weird.
Yes. We have a fake tree.
Okay.
Do you think less of us?
Do you, as someone who has only ever had menorahs and dreidels in my window, I don't think I can judge Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Do you trust me to help you trim the tree?
I was asking Dominic if he knew about Hanukkah today, and I think I was kind of losing him. I don't think he knew, was following.
Well, Christmas is it was the Friends joke where Ross tries to get his son excited about Hanukkah, so he dresses up as the Hanukkah armadillo.
Yes,
it's easier to convince like a kid that a big man bringing you presents, although a little creepy.
Yeah.
Do you think Santa Claus would get in trouble in this current climate?
No, I don't think so, because he's just like bringing the presents. He's there when the kids are sleeping and then he leaves. I think he's good.
I cannot accuse.
He's good right now. And again, if we hear reports from like the North Pole under the working conditions, I feel like that's where the problem could potentially end up. That's a crazy work environment. You know, everybody's
this is
pushed
the
to
worst,
the limits.
Most, yes. Most walk the line bit. We've done
look,
today.
Very much. But
Santa Claus
I think that coming to the house, you know, there is that I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus bit, but it does
mommy
not.
Mommy kissing.
You never heard that song? I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus.
This is not a unknown song. Wait,
yes,
please keep
but,
singing. For
yeah, underneath the mistletoe last night. Again, this is a little bit more of a love triangle between mom, dad, and Santa Claus.
Where
but
does Mrs.
Not a,
Claus come in?
She's being cheated on by Santa Claus.
God, I don't like this song.
That dog. Yes, and dad is also the person who is,
So then does Santa Claus and dad get together?
Nope.
I'm Mrs. Claus and dad, I meant?
I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't think so.
This hall, I would have to become Christian now. This is getting to be quite the love square.
Yes, it's quite a thing. Yeah. And the kids saw.
So wait, the kids in this fun tune is about the kids watching Santa Claus and their mom having a fit.
Hook up, yeah.
Gosh.
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. She didn't see me peep down the stairs to have a peek. She thought that I was upstairs in my bedroom fast asleep.
But to clarify, consensual kiss.
It appears so. There does not seem to be like Santa Claus against my mom's will
This is the worst, most line walking bit we've done. I'm very scared
All right, well, I got
it. Well, we should probably wrap the bit up.
Right.
But I will help you. Oh, I'm not a cute. I'm just saying.
Yes.
This is kidding. I'm the one who keeps encouraging the bit.
Yes.
I'm happy to help put up the Christmas tree and watch you eat more salad out of a Halloween
bowl.
Yes,
you were here and I made my lunch. Some of the listeners know about my lunch habits. I make a really large salad.
As you should.
It was very impressive.
It wasn't the salad that was funny. It was the bowl, which was for Halloween candy.
Yes.
Like that you're
I make a salad in the Halloween candy bowl. Much like, I think that's how JP serves his tri-tip salad on a date.
I just think the fact that your salad didn't fit in a regular bowl.
No, it doesn't.
It needed.
Well,
that
I like to then really like whip the dressing around like
it
a witch's
delicious.
Cauldron.
It
guess that's why it's a Halloween bowl. I'm like a witch trying to stir in all of the dressing. All right. Well, let's wrap this up.
Let's
hopefully, people enjoy this. What's the hashtag today?
You know, my dad, it feels so excluded from the Survivor community.
Yes.
I would love to make my dad the hashtag. Is that doable?
That's doable.
Or is that too
I was going to hashtag the juices of power.
Oh my God, that is a good hashtag.
Okay, well, what do you have?
Oh, I guess we can't just hashtag my dad's name.
You could. I mean, there's no law against that.
Oh gosh, should we have both of them? I feel like I got.
Okay, maybe people don't want to tweet about the juices of power.
I love the juices. That's a great hashtag, though. Hashtag the juices of power, Bob.
Okay, juices of power.
You have to include my dad's name, B-O-B. So hashtag the juices of power, Bob.
Boom. Okay. All right. Well, Hannah, this was fantastic.
This was so fun.
Again, that we don't do like TV guide of podcasts of the year. But I feel like that this would be nominated.
I had so much fun. Honestly, thank you for having me. It's so much fun to come here and chat.
Yes.
About other people that aren't me.
Yes. Well, good. I'm glad that you came, because I don't always feel like that people are excited to do this. I feel like that really half the rotation at this point, I feel like I just have like that is an obligation. Like, all right, I guess I'll do
it. It's funny. I said I'd never play again. Yes. And then I played the board game. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to hide from podcasts. I'm scared. And then I'm here.
No.
So
this was great. This was great. Okay. Follow Hannah on Twitter.
Please. Yes. I'd love for you to.
Hannah J. Nielsen.
No. Okay. Hannah Lil Nessen. So Hannah, HannahLilNessen.
Right.
Twitter and Instagram. Same thing.
And that terrible handle hasn't held you back from it.
That's my
great
name, Rob. Those are my first three names. My name is Hannah Lil Nessen Shapiro.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Follow, fighting words at the end.
Follow Hannah on social media.
The terrible handle. But
it's not a great handle.
It's my name.
I know, but it's not catchy.
That's my rapper name, Hannah Lil Nessen.
Yeah.
All right.
It's okay.
Wait, what's your Twitter handle?
At Rob Sesternino. It's not catchy, but at least it's succinct and brief.
Mine's succinct and brief.
It's not succinct or brief, but it's clear.
This has become
clear.
A roast of my Twitter handle. If you can handle the handle, yes. Please follow me.
Please follow Hannah. And what else? What else do you want to tell people to check out?
I mean, I write for Bustle. I do sketch comedy at Upright Citizens Brigade.
Do Survivor fans ever come and see your shows?
I did a ASCAT, which is where I monologued, and I had some Survivor fans come to that, which is fun.
I would have come to that.
Next time, you have a comp to any show. I have a sketch show.
Okay.
You're free to have a free comp.
Yes.
Just like not every single person listening to this podcast, but
not
Rob
everybody.
Is.
Yes.
Yeah, just write in and work in and maybe go to Australia.
Okay, and maybe going to Australia. Okay, to go visit all of the Australian survivors.
Goodness, they all watch the American one, right?
I'm not sure.
Gosh,
they may just only watch Australian Survivor at this point.
They're in their second season, right?
So they just finished the second season, and the third season is coming.
That's so funny that they're so early.
Yeah, because not all of the Big Brother Canada people watch Big Brother US. They may only just watch Big Brother Canada at this point.
Yeah, and then there's me, who knows Big Brother. He's always
left
watching.
And right, with the keys and everything.
I'm the expert. Please come to my Twitter if you want expertise insight into Big Brother.
Okay, all right.
Or Flora Bamashore.
Well, yeah, that was, I would like to hear your take on Flora Bamashore.
Yeah, the reality show I was almost on.
Yes, I was, and again, the reason why I watched that was because I was on a different podcast yesterday.
You don't have to justify your love of Flora Bamashore.
No, I'm just telling people, because people are like, oh, we'll do a podcast on it. No, I did a podcast about it. I was on the Kate Casey podcast. She is a reality TV podcaster. She talks a lot of Bravo lifestyle shows. And so I talked to her about that. That's going to be up on her podcast.
Yeah, go listen.
Yeah, on Thursday night into Friday. Of course, we've got a great feedback show coming up on Friday. Bryce Isaiah Johnston is going to join me. Very excited to catch up with Bryce. Always one of the highlights of the Survivor season when Bryce comes on, the freakiest freak, we'll find out about as well and answer all your feedback questions. That's going to be coming up over the weekend. And then we'll get into everything with Joshua. Have you listened to The Wiggle Room?
I've not been up to date on all my podcasts.
Have you heard about The Wand Off?
What? No, what's that?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you all about The Wand Off. I love
Josh Wiggler, though. I would.
Yes.
I am one of many who are in line. Everyone wants to be Josh Wiggler's best friend.
Yes. Okay. I'd like to get in
My
there.
Mom loves Josh Wiggler too.
Everybody's mom does.
My mom met Josh Wiggler. This is sidetracked right before we end it. But my mom met Josh Wiggler right before the finale and was like, take care of her on the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what my mom sounds like.
Yeah.
And he was like, yes, I will.
Yes.
That's,
okay.
That's Josh Wiggler.
Nailed it.
All right.
All right. And of course, we've got the show coming up in Austin Wednesday night.
With Brett, the better version of Boston 33.
Yes. Yes. The Undertaker. Yes. He will be there.
I love Brett.
Yes. Rob@website.com/KIA Austin for ticket information.
Yeah,
and of
everyone
course,
go.
Yeah. And if you want to find out more about the sponsors that we talked about in this podcast, Omaha Steaks, Canvas People, and more, go to Rob@website.com/gifts. Thank you so much, Hannah.
Thanks for having me.
Take
this
care,
is
everybody.
The best.
Have a good one.
Can't wait to hear your feedback.
Bye.